Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 2nd of December, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, we're going to take a look at what is happening with money, with crypto, the many different options that are out there. With AI that is coming at us, is it going to cause a collapse of civilization? If so, how and when? And what have we seen in terms of civilizational collapse in the past? Interesting article from The Atlantic, skipping the fourth turning by Strauss and Howe, that point of view, but still coming to the same conclusion. Seeing a cycle of civilizational rise and fall over 5,000 years. And what drives that? Well, it's the kind of concentration of wealth and power represented by big tech and big government, and we are right at the cusp of this. Will they be able to succeed? Even if they do, it will not be sustainable for them except for a couple of generations. What are some of the alternatives? Now we're going to take a look at the amazing lies that are coming from the White House about what is either an amazing war crime or mass murder. We'll be right back. Well, as I said at the beginning, I want to start with an overview of where we are. And I think it's always good for us to get the big picture occasionally. It's interesting. We've got to have, it's not just interesting, but we've got to have the details to know if we're on the right track here. But we need to pull back and take a look at the overall view, and that's what I want to do for just a moment here before we get into some of the details. Lessons from 5,000 years of civilizational collapse. And this is coming from The Atlantic, which is a big government leftist establishment, globalist, NATO type of perspective that's there. They said, in the Middle Ages, prophecies of a coming global collapse proliferated across Europe. Historian Norman Cohen has written that parts of Western Europe witnessed the emergence of what was called messianic movements of the poor. In almost every instance, he argued, a collective sense of impotence and anxiety and envy suddenly discharged itself in a frantic urge to smite the ungodly, to seize wealth and power, and to hold it for all eternity, as they pointed out. Well, as I said, when I looked into asymmetric warfare, because the Obama administration was ramping up and practicing for the type of stuff that Donald Trump is doing right now. Isn't that interesting? You know, talk about the left-right march of tyranny and the fact that it's not the Republicans or the Democrats, it's not the lefty or the righty or however they identify themselves that really wields the power. It's the Pentagon. It's the CIA. And at the time, the Pentagon was talking about how we're going to have everybody in the cities and there's going to be open conflict and where we'll have to put the troops in the cities, and I've played the video for you more recently. That's about a 10-year-old video. And when Biggs and I went to the Asymmetric Warfare Center and at what was in Fort, let's see, what was that, Fort Hood? It was AP Hill. Yeah. And they renamed it because you can't have something named after a Confederate general. Just wait and see what we name these these things. Anyway, when we got in there, and that was a very interesting, one of the most, I'd say I was more concerned about that than I was the Bundy Ranch standoff, because the military is far more dangerous than BLM. Yeah, BLM was threatening to shoot you, but, you know, the military, as we see, will kill you without any threats. So, we were arrested for quite a while there. But anyway, when I was doing research on it, that was exactly what all these generals were saying. You know, when they go into places like Iraq and Afghanistan and blow the place up and then put boots on the ground to occupy and to basically rebuild it in their image using their puppets, they got into what they called asymmetric warfare. Okay, we got the big guns and we got the big planes and the big bombs. But then when we get boots on the ground, we have to deal with this insurgency that is there and the guerrilla warfare. And they said what motivates people is not religious. The religious stuff comes later. What motivates them is this sense of despair. And that's the way the saying begins. Listen, the collective sense of impotence, anxiety, and envy. Because you go into a country like that, you destroy everything, then you occupy it with a big military force. What happens? People, especially the ones who have been successful, and usually they said the leaders were well-educated. Maybe they had some kind of a technical field that they were in. And they were the ones who started organizing things because they were the ones who felt, I think, the loss of a future. And so when people feel like they have no future, as Gerald Slinty says all the time, when people lose everything, they lose it. That's a great way to summarize what they were talking about with asymmetric warfare. And then, of course, they will turn to religious motivation and as they fall back on stuff, because you have to have some principles, even if you get the wrong ones. Today, the conditions for apocalypticism, that's an interesting word, gaping inequality, pandemics, rapid technological development are amply present. Well, the reality is that none of these things are just circumstantial. They are all deliberate, planned, and in our face by the people who are doing it. I mean, we all see that, hopefully not a lot of people see it, but I think this audience sees that the pandemic was planned and a scam. Or otherwise, you probably still would not be listening to me. You would turn me off because you'd be upset about that. But the end of the world vibes in many of the domains of politics and culture, an apocalyptic impulse to destroy the federal bureaucracy, and to reestablish patriarchal, or how about matriarchal, right? That's what the people at the Atlantic want to do. They want to establish a matriarchy. They always say patriarchal. Christian supremacy, right, has been blamed for fueling the rise of the MAGA movement. Peter Thiel has recently spoken of the coming Antichrist to sold-out audiences in San Francisco. I got to say, only to some publication that is so far left-wing as the Atlantic would they take Peter Thiel as somebody seriously speaking about Christianity. What is notable now is that apocalyptic angst has become constant, said a British writer. He said it's all flow and no ebb. Donald Trump is seen as a religious hero who will smite the political establishment. That is absolutely true. But again, they don't talk about the fourth turning. They have and yet they validate it at the same time. They talk about research being done by a guy in a new book. His name is Luke Kemp. He's affiliated with the University of Cambridge Center for the Study of Existential Risk. He says, this moment, we have to understand, he says, shows that it's something like it has already happened many, many times over. So if we go back 5,000 years of human civilization, he identifies the commonalities among recurring societal collapses. But he also argues that these events are not only potential learning experiences, but also inflection points in the history of humanity. many of which have been, in certain ways, productive. I think that's interesting because that is why Strauss and Howe struck home so with me, is because I'd looked at that and I thought, you know, it's interesting, 70, 80-year cycles between the creation of the U.S. government and when it was destroyed by Lincoln in the Civil War. The U.S. government is not anything at all like the republic that the founders put in. Nothing at all like it. And just as when you look at the Soviet.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Union, you know, created in 1917, fell in 1989, I think, and so 72 years there. Still, there's a lot of overlap, a lot of similarity, a lot of nostalgia between the two. You see when you talk to people like, what was his name, the Russian guy I interviewed. Can't remember his name. Anyway.
Alexander Dugin.
Thank you. Thank you. Got to rely on you more and more for for names as I'm getting older. When you look at Alexander Dugin, he did not reject Lenin and communism. So that's part of our history. He embraced it. Well, in the same way, you know, you have Americans who will embrace the ideas and some of the cultural aspects of the American Revolution, but they've completely rejected it in their worldview and their government view. And so, when I saw that, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because I've seen that kind of a cycle. This guy's gone back and he sees the same type of thing. Matured, you have a society that grows and goes through four generations and people see how corrupt and, non-effective it has become. They change it. Usually there's always massive economic change, usually war. And then out of the ruins, they build another civilization, and then they keep repeating that about every four generations. That's what this guy sees as well. He says, crises can be good for you. The destruction of capital, of temples, palaces, manors, monuments, bathhouses, wealthy properties, all disproportionately hurt the rich. Though calamities such as disease, famine, war tend to bring greater harm to the poor. Those who manage to survive the wipeout event, he says, are left with more bargaining power. With bosses and landlords, though, because there are fewer people with whom to compete. The technology has changed some of that calculus as well. But he gives some evidences of this in historical times. And again, we have seen ample evidence of this repeating. Here's the bottom line. He said, our global Goliath will die explosively unless we kill it first. Is it going to take us all down? when we look at this global system that they've created, we can see how it is fraying around the edges. And of course, Trump has accelerated this by coming in and with tariffs and economic issues that I think will ultimately lead to a larger war. He argues that a new Silicon Goliath is emerging, composed of mass surveillance technology, data centers, artificial intelligence, and data itself. A crucial new lootable resource, he said. He worries that unless citizens rise up as an army of Davids, it's going to get really bad. Well, here's a lesson that we need to understand about this. You know, yeah, David killed Goliath, but it was ultimately God who killed Goliath. And we have to understand that God doesn't need horses and chariots to accomplish this stuff. He can do it with a small group of people. And, of course, there was that sociologist who said that the only thing that's ever changed society is a small committed group of people. Well, I would say that that is the reflection of God and that he is moving in those people.
Yeah,
the battle
really
belongs to the Lord. Yes.
Really what? Shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the story of David and Goliath. If he says, we need an army of Davids. That sling and stone, it's a very effective weapon.
That's right. That's right. And so, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like here. He offered some ideas such as rejecting for-profit AI models in terms of decentralized and collaborative ones. Another route would be to refuse to work for entities that Kemp calls agents of doom. And so then, because this is the Atlantic, he says, well, that would be like AI labs or a fossil fuel company or an arms manufacturer, whatever. No, I would say just the government. How about that? That is the agent of doom. Let's just go right to the top and the source of all this stuff. Refuse to work for the CIA. Refuse to work for DARPA. And I would say increasingly refuse to work for the government at any level in any capacity that's there. Well, how do we actually work with this, the lovers of power? Well, NPR then has an idea. And again, I think it's kind of idiotic and quixotic at the same time. An independent effort says that AI is the secret to topple two-party power in Congress. I saw that headline. I thought, are they now proposing in the U.S. that we have, just like, what was the name of that country? I talked about this last week. Again, I got to go to you for names. Where they said, we've had so much corruption that we have now made AI our minister because we can't trust people anymore.
Was it Albania?
I think that was it.
I think it was
yeah.
Albania.
Albania, yeah. I wanted to say Serbia, but I knew it wasn't Serbia. Albania was it. So we can't trust people anymore, so we're going to get AI. Not understanding at all that AI is actually Indians or actually been indoctrinated, right? AI actually indoctrinated with their biases and their prejudices and so forth, and controllable by somebody who is behind the curtain and you can't see them. And so what they're suggesting is that they use AI in the way that I think AI really has been designed for and the way that it is the most dangerous, and that is for surveillance and control, for monitoring and for manipulation. They said one organization is suggesting that AI can go beyond making daily life more convenient. I haven't seen that yet. Have you? It says the key to reshaping American politics. They said what we're trying to do would be impossible without AI. The goal is to elect a handful of independent candidates to the House of Representatives in 2026 using AI to identify districts where independents could succeed and uncover diamond in the rough candidates. Now, this is essentially what Elon Musk was talking about when we said we need to have a third party. Maybe these people are making a plea to Elon Musk for money. Because what they point out is that with Congress so evenly divided, that if you got a handful, if you're a couple of dozen people, you could have the balance of power. And you could magnify that by being the swing vote. And that's precisely what Elon Musk was saying. So we need to have a third party. We only need to get a few candidates elected to Congress in order to wield that kind of power. And so they said, this is a bold proposition. The system has not seen a new independent candidate win a House seat in 35 years. You might want to ask why that is the case. You see, the Republicans and Democrats and whoever it is that's got control of the redistricting, you know, this is why the fight is going on now between Texas and California and so forth. They understand that it isn't the voters picking the candidates. It's the candidates picking the voters and counting the votes, right? And so that's where the redistricting comes in, and that's where the computer really comes into play. They can go in and very precisely pick who it is that they want. This whole article is very naive in that regard, especially considering the very public fight that's going on right now between Democrat-controlled and Republican-controlled states to say, we're going to redistrict these areas so that we can get more candidates of our party elected. It's so easy for them to do that with the computers that they have now. And so what these people are doing is they're saying, well, you know, we can go in and we can monitor the public. And that's really what AI is set up to do, is set up to monitor and to manipulate. Said when we do a poll, we take a snapshot of what somebody is thinking. But then as they're driving home listening to the radio, maybe something changes their mind. They get home and they've completely switched their view on that particular issue. We can capture that in real time. Well, how are they going to do that? Largely it's through social media. That's what social media was designed for. That's why it was a tool created by DARPA. It was DARPA's idea. J.C.R. Licklider in the early 1960s came up with the idea. They couldn't practically implement it until technology caught up in the late 90s. And that's why the CIA openly jumped in with venture capital firm Incutel, which they've always manipulated corporations and supported them, the ones that would do what they wanted. But they needed to do it big and they needed to do it fast. So they went public with it. Basically, didn't make it secret anymore. And it's not just Incutel. If you go back and you look at the board of directors and the venture capital companies that supported them on the boards of these venture capital companies, you would see all these people from the intelligence.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This agency is the NSA. The CIA and so forth. They were picking the contestants, knowing that there was going to be a competition and a shakeout, and they would have the strongest one. But whoever won, they first knew that these people were going to be compliant with them, as we have seen. And so, data shows that there's a huge rise in moderate and independent voters who don't like either party. The problem is that they're captured by the Hegelian dialectic and that kind of thinking. It's either this one or that one, Republican or Democrat. And you always see this pattern, because I've been involved in third-party politics. You always see that people are disgusted with Republicans and Democrats, and they've been betrayed over and over again. And so somebody comes out, and if they're articulate and they have some good ideas, they rise in the polls. Maybe they get up. Maybe they're polling at 10, 15% or something like that. As you get closer and closer to the election, the Hegelian dialectic is, you know, you can't let this other team win. So you got to abandon your hope of having any real change and vote for the usual suspect over here. That is the party that you've always voted for. And it always melts away. We've seen this over and over again. They think it's going to be different. The Independent Center is the one that's doing it. They said their strategists are not political newbies. Brandon, who served as president of FreedomWorks, a conservative grassroots group that helped to turn Tea Party activists into a political force, before closing its doors last year. And I've had some interaction with FreedomWorks. I won a contest with them. Was it 2009, I think? And it was a cash prize plus a trip to Chicago that Karen and I went up there. So we, you know, won for the video and got a chance to ride Segways around Chicago where nobody knew me. I didn't care about it. I looked, but it was a lot of fun. But that was when Dick Armey was there, and there was a power struggle within FreedomWorks. He got pushed out, never really recovered from that. And yet these guys have been in politics for a long time. And when you look at the Tea Party activism, I think that is really what the true issue here is, and that's what's missing in all of this stuff. They said, we can go out and we do a poll and we only know what somebody thinks at that moment in time, but we can constantly monitor them using AI. And then we can go in and we can use economic data, Reddit, LinkedIn, all these other things. And we've got a proprietary tool to pull that stuff together. And we can see, you know, where the best districts are for our candidates to run. Well, the problem is that the other side is doing that as well. The Republicans or the Democrats have already done that to create the districts. They've already created districts that are going to be won by their party. And so they're playing catch-up here, and they don't really have anything that is really new, I don't think. And so they're trying to understand core issues and concerns of voters and to hunt for districts that are ripe for an independent candidate to swoop in. So they said, you know, we might go into one that has been flipping back and forth, 50% Republican, 50% Democrat, go in there. The thing is that if you're going to go in and you're going to pick your politicians and pick your policies based on polling, then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be pandering. You're not going to be setting up principles. We need somebody who's going to lead. You know, the politicians are doing this already, and the way I see AI bringing this stuff together is it's just going to add more froth and volatility to the whole process. People are going to be, you know, if you don't have a rudder, you know, you're blown about by every wind, by every issue. You are blown about by the constantly changing issues, and that's not leadership. That's simply politics. It's not statesmanship. You got a fickle public and you got feckless politicians. And that's what's the downfall of our society here. These pandering politicians. What this country needs that we don't have. So we need a foundation. We need a worldview. We need a philosophy. We need God, basically, as the basis of that. That's what was different about the American Revolution. That's why they did not accrue all power to themselves. And so they said, well, so we're looking at things like voter participation rates, which districts have really low turnout, because these people are not excited to go to the ballot box. It's also looking at districts with younger voters who might embrace the independent message. How about looking at your message? How about focusing on trying to push a philosophy, a foundation that is going to support our society? A rudder that is going to guide us. None of that is here. This is just simply more noise and more static. They point to one incident where a candidate was poised to run in their home district, AI showed the district next door is a better bet. 30 minutes away, the perfect fit. And that's what that person's going to do because we found that they matched up perfectly with that other district. Well, if you're running for Congress, which is what they've been talking about, it doesn't matter where you live. I mean, I lived in Raleigh and I ran for Congress in Charlotte. It was a pain in the neck to get over there to speak, but and to put up signs. I put up all the signs myself. I bought several hundred signs and then I put them all up and I took them all down after the election was.
I vaguely remember riding around in the car with you guys.
That's right. You were in the car seat facing backwards and you watched me putting all this stuff in the van. But, yeah, that was a real pain in the neck. And, but it doesn't matter what district you live in. You just have to live in the state. That's, kind of a secret people don't understand. One criticism they acknowledge they hear often is the idea of spoilers, non-winning candidates whose presence on the ballot affects which candidate will win. He said it's a partisan, archaic line. What's wrong with spoiling something that people don't like? That's the way I always figured out, looked at it. You know, people said, well, you sound a lot like the Republicans in terms of economics and other things like that. It's like, yeah, but they don't care about liberty or the Constitution. And I don't care if they lose. They're a distinction without a difference, really, to the Democrats. And you have to look at it that way. And I was there. The reason I ran was not because I wanted to go to Congress. I got to say, there was nothing that I would want less than to live and work in Washington, especially in the kind of system that is run by the Speaker and the kind of parliamentary rules that lock you down where you can't do anything. But I ran because, well, we didn't have social media. We didn't have any better way to get the message out. So we ran to try to get people to focus on the Constitution, to focus on liberty. And when I ran, when I would speak, I said, you know, Gingrich just flipped everything over because he had his 10-point proposition, his plan for America. Anyway, he had 10 items. I said, well, here's my 10 items. It's the Bill of Rights. And here's how, what's it? Contract with America. Yeah, that's it. And so I said, here's my contract with America. It's called the Bill of Rights. And here's how every one of those are being violated right now.
And of course, anytime we talk about third parties, I feel the need to mention that there can't be a consistent third party when there's first past the post voting. Mm-hmm. It always devolves into a two-party system when you have first past the post, which is why I think the typical one that you see, the runoff election ones, is an improvement, but the approval voting is the best one since that one is easier to tally.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Lance. And that's one of the reasons why Republicans are so laser focused on this, because they know if a party's going to be replaced, it's going to be the Republican Party, and it should be replaced. So as I said, the Republican Democrat establishments live in a world that is either Coke or Pepsi, Ford or Chevy, MSNBC or Fox News. That's fine for people that watch MSNBC and Fox News, but everybody else, we don't live in that binary system anymore. But you do, and you will, as long as it's first past the post. I mean, from the ballot access to the districting and the way that they select the voters, to the way that the votes are counted, and to the whole system where it's first past the post, you have such a lock on this particular system. I don't really see it breaking. I think what's going to break is going to be when the dollar crashes. And we're going to talk about that coming up here. But of course, Marshall.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Javi also points out the AI revolution is about to crash due to a lack of human labor. That's right. You know, isn't it interesting that as they want to replace all of us, they don't have the labor that's there to build their data centers. They want to take all electricity and power away from us. They want to take all economic power away from us, all electrical power away from us. They don't want us to have jobs, and yet they can't find enough humans to build their data centers. Kind of a bootstrap issue here, isn't it? and it makes you wonder exactly how they think that this whole thing is sustainable when you don't have humans with jobs to buy their products. That was the whole thing Henry Ford pointed out. He said, well, I want my workers to be able to afford my cars. They don't want any workers. And so the whole thing is a house of cards that is not sustainable. The new price of eggs is the political shock of the cost of data centers on our electric bills. And don't look to the Republicans for any help on this. The Republicans have been completely bought out by big tech on this issue, and they're not going to do anything to help with that. They're seeing it particularly in Virginia. Because Virginia is close to where so many of the big data centers are there, because that is the real application for artificial intelligence. It is a government control. So data centers are a gold rush for construction workers. Surging demand means that many are getting six-figure salaries and more perks. Things are going to get even more real when it all collapses. Chinese authorities are even worried now about humanoid robots. Isn't that interesting? The country that has always been built on slave labor, now they are jumping into the mechanical slaves, which is what robot means. It's the Czech word for slave, and they're even concerned about it. It really is about surveilling speech and threatening our privacy rights. As a matter of fact, do we still have that in the deck, the guy who was arrested because of a meme in the UK? I've got that article coming up. We'll look for this, and we'll talk about that article later. We've got a couple of comments before we take a break, Travis.
That's right. Nibiru 2029, voting strategy for 2026, midterms, change the party, get ballot, don't vote. Party switching alone will scare the hell out of the parasites. Not handing in the ballot will send a message.
That's true. That's true. That's a good idea. I like that. Change your party. Does everybody change? Switch partners.
Musical
here?
Chairs. Guard Goldsmith. AI is like Soylent Green. People at its core.
Yeah, that's right. It eats. It consumes people, and consumes what they produce, and imitates them. It truly is satanic in the sense that it's all based on imitation and theft, and that's what's. That's what Satan doesn't create anything. He steals things and pretends that he created them.
I would have more simp.
Where I've seen Soylent Green is Indians. AI is actually Indians.
Yeah. They've done that so many. We've talked about that so many times. It's a running joke. You know, this one robot that they set up to be a domestic helper. What it is, it's actually just a camera, and you got a bunch of people that are watching it and manipulating it. And so you're paying for people to have a remote control robot that they can walk around your house and spy on you and listen to you.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of person is going to apply for that job. Surely nobody nefarious or creepy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, oh, yes, I love to watch you all the time.
They've done that in grocery stores as well. You know, where you go in, it's like, oh, we're just going to scan your, look at your cart, and we'll total up the prices. They've actually got Indians who are actually being paid to watch all the stuff and tally it as people put it in or take it out of their cart. Sorry, Lance, go ahead.
Yeah, the idea of that robot was that eventually it will be AI, or they'll have it set up. They'll always have a camera connection to your robot, but when you give it a new job that it doesn't know how to do, that's when a human will take over, and then it will teach it how to do that, and then it will just refer back to that video of the human doing it, so it has a rough idea in the future. At least that's what they hope. But in fact, right now, it's 100% controlled remotely.
Yeah, that's people who have more money than sense. We're to buy into that thing.
Sadly, with how dumb many Americans are, no matter how poor they are, a lot of them still have more money than sense. We have the real Octospook. AI is like a vehicle, farm, tool, knife, machete, gun. It's benign. Only the user determines its use and purpose.
And I agree with that because if you're using AI online, you have become their data, and they are spying on you and other things like that. However, it is now possible to download a lot of the AI tools. That's the way we operate with it. You can download them locally, and now you're not dealing with these different companies, and they're not getting the data from you. They're not getting paid by you as well. There's so many free AI tools out there that Lance has put together and has set up a computer to simply do that. So we're getting that together. Hopefully we'll be able to do more stuff. I would like to have an angry Trump reading his screaming tweets instead of me reading it to you. So we'll see if we can get that in.
Yeah, I was going to have that all set up, but then I got sick over the weekend.
Yeah. Over this last Thanksgiving weekend, we were hoping we were going to get caught up on a lot of things. Instead, we got much further behind. Both Karen and Lance were very sick through Thanksgiving. This is Karen's second Thanksgiving in a row where she was throwing up profusely. Last year, our daughter was here from Texas, and she did Thanksgiving dinner. This year, because of Karen's brother dying, Travis's wife had already planned on doing Thanksgiving dinner, so that part of it worked out for those of us who could eat. But I know Karen's not faking it, because you can't fake the way she was throwing up. She was feeling really bad.
At that point, the faking is worse than whatever you were trying to get out of, you know? There has to be a trade-off, you know? Yeah. Ferris Bueller wouldn't be the same movie if he literally made himself so ill that he just had to lay in bed the entire time to get out of school.
Yeah, yeah. If she could throw up like that, she'd be bulimic, so in no time at all.
Anyway. We've got real Jason Barker. Districts should be mapped by zip code. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about the way these things operate to say whether if that would fix the problem, but Jason's got a lot of good ideas, so I'd be willing to give it a shot.
That'd be one way to get it out of them picking the districts by computer, but even before they had the kind of sophisticated data mining that AI gives them, they were very, very good at picking the voters. I remember the congressional districts. I had one of them in North Carolina that just went down a major highway. And they could look at voter registration, which is what they were doing, and they were hopping from one side to the other of the major highway. I remember one of the people who was running said, "This is crazy trying to get in touch with these people because of the way this thing is drawn." But they did it before they had computers. That's why they called it gerrymandering. They could figure out that type of thing. But it really has made it into a very detailed science now. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
I wish I had the Christmas Night Album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night Album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night Album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night Album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and his all-new I'll Be Home for Christmas.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Well, if you want to get home for the holidays this year, it could cost you a lot more. We have TSA has just decided arbitrarily and capriciously that they're going to charge people a $45 fee, a fine, if you don't have real ID. It's always about the money, isn't it? That's what I said about the COVID stuff. All these people saying, you're crazy. It's the bad Democrat governors. It's not Trump and it's not all these other, it's not the federal government. It's bad Democrat governors. It's like, you really don't understand how things work. It's always done with bribery and with financial blackmail. That's the way they get past the 10th Amendment. And this is another example of how the bureaucracy is out of control. Where do they get the authority to levy a fine like this? Something like that ought to be coming from Congress, right? We shouldn't have Trump imposing tariffs, and we shouldn't have the TSA imposing $45 fees on us. They had originally proposed, and this is something that's already published in a paper, they put the stuff out and say, well, you know, this is what we're thinking about doing. Give us your feedback. And they don't care what your feedback is. Originally, they were talking about making it $18. Then they decide, no, let's go with 45. What stops it? Where does it stop? If they want to make sure that you don't fly unless you've got real ID, they don't have to wait for Congress to pass a law. They don't have to make a law saying you can't fly if you don't have real ID. They can just fine you and make that happen that way.
And so if you haven't upgraded, that we have TSA to keep us safe from these terrorists that don't have real ID or $45 to get around this.
That's right. Well, you know, these guys who took down the Twin Towers by flying the planes into them, they must have had some really good ID because they found it on the rubble. You know, it survived the explosion and the fires and everything else, and they managed to find these things. So we knew who the guys were. They had really good ID. How do I get ID like that that's indestructible?
Well, that's certainly not real ID, though.
That's not a fake ID. That's right, a fake ID. Yeah. $45 fee for people without real ID comes after the TSA started requiring the identification or other approved documents in May. And so since people didn't get it, since it was required, now you're going to have it. The TSA warned that people without real ID could enter increased wait times at airports while their identities are verified. You know, we could get rid of all these wait times at the airport if we got rid of the TSA. That's where the bottleneck is. And quite frankly, they have created the biggest security threat with these long bottleneck lines. That's where the terrorists would attack if they attacked. But the TSA knows that there's no threat against airports or airplanes. They said that in 2011. That information that was part of a lawsuit was accidentally published by them on pacer.gov. And then they discovered that they put up the unredacted version, and then they put up the redacted version for us so we could conveniently go in and see what they didn't want us to know. But they know that there was no threat to airports or airplanes, and if there had been a threat to airports or airplanes, they would not have been able to stop it. They have been totally ineffective whenever they've been tested. They won't say, because it's national security secret, no, it's job security secret, that they fail probably 80-90% of the time. But so if there had been a real threat, we would have had more attacks. But there never was a real threat. There wasn't a real threat on 9/11 either. This was an agency that was created to stop an imaginary threat, just like the pandemic. And like I said before, the COVID pandemic is the other shoe to drop from the 9/11 lie. Both of them were based on lies about things that didn't exist. We didn't have a virus. We didn't have a pandemic. We didn't have terrorists on airplanes. They've just used these lies to impose the surveillance state on us.
The lie of the TSA is blatantly obvious on its face when you just look at who is employed. This is not Jason Bourne or Sherlock Holmes. They're not going to stop a terrorist attack. This is generally, you know, very overweight, middle-aged to elderly individuals, or sometimes foreign nationals who now work for the government harassing you.
Yeah, it's just harassment.
These people do not care about protecting you. They are simply there to collect a check. And even if they did care, they couldn't do anything about it. The last time I was in an airport, most of the TSA agents, English was their second language. These people are not loyal to America. Do you think this person is going to see a terrorist and go, it is now my duty to sacrifice myself for the good of America and the American people? No. just on its face, who they hire shows what it's really about. And it's
when you
utterly
go home,
ridiculous.
Do you have real ID?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Five is going to be $100.
Yep.
More. Okay. Like buying another ticket. And I don't know if your 1 year old son will have to have a real ID or not.
Another 45, right, for him.
But anyway, they said, that it could increase your wait time, which is what the TSA is really all about. And it's all about obedience training, right? This is positive operant conditioning. It's what B.F. Skinner said, right? You do what I want. In other words, you know, this is negative. In other words, I'm going to punish you because you didn't get real ID. But the basic premise of the TSA is you do what I want. You know, you go through this machine or you let me put my hands on you and then you can fly. Here's your reward, right? And that is a much more effective way to train animals, which is the way they see us. The policy, though, however, creates a bizarre situation where your identity expires like a carton of milk. So you pay them $45 because they say, well, we have to run this through a system. And this is as ridiculous as banks charging you a special fee because you got a check from Canada or something like that. It's like, come on, you don't have to charge, you know, 10% of the check or something like that. So they're going to check you through their verification system and make sure that you are paying, not taxpayers are footing the bill, for the advanced verification system. However, once they go through this advanced verification system, the system is so advanced that it can't remember who you were if you stay more than 10 days. So if you take a 2-week vacation and you don't have real ID, you got to pay $45 going, $45 to come back because they only keep your ID for 10 days. How could it get any worse? Just wait. They'll think of a way.
Yeah, this $45 fee to search through a database. We've got to enter in your name
exactly.
into our database. It's such difficult work for these people.
And so expensive, too, you know, when you look at all the power that's consumed by the the computers here.
And the way they put that, to make sure that it's these scum that are paying for it that don't have the real ID rather than the taxpayers. It's
That's
only
right.
these delinquents that don't have ID. It's it reminds me of Brazil. It's people aren't paying enough for their interrogations.
Exactly. And, of course, if you want to get your real ID, some states don't charge you. New York doesn't have a fee for real ID. Besides the amount of time that they waste on you and all the hassle. But in Pennsylvania, they hassle you, they waste your time, and they charge you a one-time $30 real ID fee on top of standard renewal fees for your driver's license. So, you know, they're going to get you everywhere, right? A surprise when your package arrives, you have to pay the tariff. Wait a minute, I thought tariffs didn't cost Americans anything. What Trump was saying? Well, you're going to pay directly because of this de minimis shipping exclusion that has been taken away. It was a tariff exemption on goods that were worth $800 or less. It has left some U.S. shoppers with extra shipping bills that have to be paid before they can get their stuff. And then, of course, it creates a massive issue. You can imagine, in this particular case, they begin with an example. A woman who's a physical therapist in California bought a trench coat from a Dutch retailer for $456. She said that was already a bit above her budget. But then when it arrived, UPS told her that she'd have to pay $250 in customs to get it. Now, if she did not pay that, you know, she wound up paying it. She said, this is the second most expensive article of clothing I've ever bought. The only thing that was more expensive was my wedding gown. So, but you can't wear your wedding gown out in the rain, I guess. So this is a trench coat. Good news.
And with a trench coat, you can pretend to be a hard-boiled detective. That's and walk right. around saying things like, these streets just ain't the same.
So anyway, she wound up paying $700 for it by the time she had to pay the taxes on it. So if somebody doesn't want to pay a surprise bill of $250 to get their item, then what happens? What happens with the shipper? What happens with the company on the other end? It becomes a real quagmire, and that's one of the reasons why they did not have this there. For decades, there were no custom duties imposed on items under $800. But that has ended in China for Chinese goods in May, and for the rest of the world, that ended in August. Democrats and Republicans favored ending the exemption. The rationale they gave was it made it easier to smuggle fentanyl into the country. It's always fentanyl, isn't it? That's become the excuse for every kind of tyranny. We got to stop that fentanyl. It was... they were just in the White House. They were saying, well, you know, the Biden administration really didn't watch the fentanyl stuff. And so we had enough fentanyl come into the country under Biden to kill every man, woman, and child in America. It's like, well, how are we still alive? Because maybe some of us are not interested in taking it, you know. So anyway, the ludicrous arguments that they make with this stuff is just... never ends. Still, the abruptness with which the U.S. closed the loophole, and that's the key, caused major disruptions for sellers of all sizes, as well as for express carriers like FedEx and UPS, postal networks, and for American shoppers. This is the key. This is the chaos and disruption that Trump specializes in. That's why they put him in place. Because you could change these things. You could, if you don't like the interlocking just-in-time delivery system and, you know, offshoring of manufacturing, things like that, which I don't really like either. But if you, that system has been put in over decades, and you're not going to rip that out overnight without causing major problems. Trump doesn't care. As a matter of fact, he likes to do that kind of stuff. Here's another example of the destructive policies of Trump. Costco is suing the Trump administration, seeking tariff refunds before the Supreme Court rules if they're illegal. Why are they doing that? Well, because it turns out that the Trump administration has said that even if they lose in the Supreme Court, which if any justice is done, they will lose. There's absolutely no way that IEEPA fraud, there was not any emergency. Nothing had changed over several decades in terms of trade deficits with other countries. And so you can argue whether or not you think trade deficits are an issue or not. Some people don't think trade deficits are an issue. Whether or not you think it's an issue, it clearly had not changed, and so it was clearly not an emergency. So it's not even about that. He is declaring emergencies left and right everywhere so he can just rule by executive order. And that's what the Supreme Court needs to shut down. not just for the tariff issue, but for all these other issues. We got to stop Trump and the Democrats who will.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Follow him. We'll do the same thing. They will declare an emergency and then just rule as czars and dictators. But the issue is that if the Supreme Court says we're going to enforce the Constitution, the Trump administration has said that companies that have paid the tariff, like Costco has paid, will not get their money back. Now, we've also heard them saying, well, there's going to be so many refunds we're going to have to give that we will... just this astronomical amount of money that they're going to have to refund. And they made that as an argument for why the Supreme Court should not take away the power that they usurped. You know, hey, we stole this power. Don't take it away because it's going to be expensive and complicated for us to undo what we did when we didn't have any authority to do it. What? That's the Trump administration in a nutshell. And so we created all this problem, and you're going to make even a bigger problem if we have to refund all this stuff. But the separate action is necessary, said Costco in the lawsuit, because even if the IEEPA duties and underlying executive orders are held unlawful by the Supreme Court, importers have paid the duties, including the plaintiff, Costco, and they are not guaranteed a refund for those unlawfully collected tariffs in the absence of their own judgment and judicial relief. So Trump is basically, with his abruptness and with his vacillation and his constantly changing rates, he has thrown a monkey wrench into every kind of business, whether it's retail or manufacturing in the U.S., because the manufacturers have been thrown under the bus. They don't get all of the components that they need for whatever they're manufacturing here domestically. Every one of the manufacturers is going to be getting a lot of components from abroad. They don't know what their prices are going to be because constant changing and flipping of these duties based on what Trump is, the games he's playing with other leaders in other countries. It's not based on even protecting an industry or even funding the government. It's just based on the whims and the likes and the dislikes of Donald Trump and who he's trying to reward or who he's trying to punish. Who does he like? Kiss his ring and or other things attached to him and to get away from this or whatever. So that is the that is one of the worst aspects of this. So after he creates all this chaos and freezes a lot of people and destroys their businesses, really, the people who have survived, who are able to work around this, pay the tariffs, and they buy the goods, and they don't know if the price of the goods are going to go up or go down, but they pay these tariffs, and then it's all illegal. And then they've got to go through the process of suing the U.S. government in order to get that money back. It's just unbelievable what Trump is doing to our country. This court and this federal circuit have cautioned that an importer may lack the legal right to recover refunds of duties for entries that have liquidated, even where the underlying legality of the tariff is later found to be unlawful. Isn't that amazing? We can put unlawful, destructive tariffs on you, and even after we agree that they are unlawful, we're not going to let you get your money back. And notice that this is for importers, right? So the foreigners may get their money back, but not the Americans. How is this America first? The Trump administration has warned of the potential fallout of having to refund hundreds of millions of dollars in tariffs. What about the fallout when you close American businesses because of your lockdowns like you did 5 years ago, or your tariffs like you're doing now? It's just amazing. So a British man was reportedly arrested for posing with a gun on social media. This is a British man who was reportedly arrested after posting a photo on social media showing him holding a gun. Like Toy Story, you know, you can't have a gun, Woody can't have it. And if you're going to draw a gun, you got to do it with an Etch-a-Sketch, right? You can't actually pull it out.
The image reach was, for the sky.
Yeah, that's right. It was taken in the U.S. and was uploaded to LinkedIn back in August. And according to this man, who is an IT contractor, the photo caused a nightmarish legal drama from the West Yorkshire police, despite the gun being legal and the image being taken on private property in America. And it was not threatening. It was not threatening to anyone. Cop initially came to his home, warned him about the posting, citing a complaint from a person who saw the image. Then cops came back later that night, August the 24th, and arrested him. That was only the beginning. The Yorkshire Post reported that he ended up having strained relations with neighbors and others over the constant police presence, even had his equipment and devices seized by cops. He's an IT contractor.
Well, I'm glad they're doing this instead of going after the Pakistani rape gangs.
Yeah.
Every single officer involved with this should be brought up on charges of treason and summarily executed. Just, no, we don't need your kind in power, you officious, relentless bureaucrat.
But they're doing exactly what the government wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. Still, my statement stands.
Most perplexing is that the caption and the accompanied text purportedly included nothing that was threatening or legally concerning. He also told the media that he tried to explain to the cops that the photo wasn't taken in the UK and was instead captured in America, where you're allowed to have guns. He was reportedly held in prison overnight, interrogated, and being accused of holding a firearm with intent to cause fear of violence. So if you are holding a firearm, even if it's not in a threatening way or whatever, you are causing fear of violence.
It's so scary. It's so spooky.
After being released on bail, authorities came three other times to visit him throughout October. The case was eventually dropped over lack of evidence. He's now speaking out against what he believes to be an Orwellian nightmare. I've not been able to sleep. I've lived in fear of a knock at my door for the last 3 months. I haven't spoken to my neighbors for 4 months. It has damaged my ability to run my business. On the evidence seen by the Yorkshire Post, there was never a scintilla of a chance of a successful prosecution. And so serious questions remain about the policing standards and motivations applied in this case. The leadership who permitted this pursuit until the day after this newspaper applied to cover the impending court case. A spokesperson for West Yorkshire Police told the Metro that the complaint at the center of the crisis was based on fears that the initial photo was a threat. You know, we had, just in case you think this is something that's limited to the thought police in the UK. Remember, we had a person put something up on social media as a protest of yet another Charlie Cook Kirk memorial that was being held at a...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
School. And he put up a meme, which was about a shooting in a town that had the same name as this school. But he wasn't threatening the school. He didn't create the meme. He reposted it. And what he reposted was what Trump had said and was criticized at the time. He said it was just time for us to just move on. And that's what this guy was saying. It's time for us to move on. We've focused on this Charlie Kirk shooting for so long. Can't we just move on? And so the Tennessee sheriff arrested him for that. He said, we can't arrest him for a speech, but we can arrest him for threatening. And that's an implied threat. Even though he didn't create the meme, even though it was something that Trump said, and it was about a completely different organization. So this is the way this stuff is running. As a matter of fact, what we were talking about before was a protest that is being held. A lot of people are protesting the Israeli genocide in Gaza. And one guy showed up and he had a sign that said, "I support genocide." And just as an experiment, right? And they arrested everybody that had anti-genocide signs, but they left him alone. And,
well, I mean, you can't go after the genocide enjoyer. He's just a funny little guy.
That's right. So, again, as long as you support Israel, it doesn't matter if it's genocide or not. Just support Israel. That's the key thing that's here. But notice the reaction of the other people. There's an interesting thing about this. A lot of people haven't talked about that Lance pointed out. But here's the original clip.
Going to be arrested?
You support genocide?
Yeah.
Down to you.
I've already found out in Liverpool that supporting a genocide doesn't get you arrested. I'm supporting the war crimes of Netanyahu, and I'm wondering if you'll arrest me?
No.
So now I'm in London to find out whether supporting a genocide gets you arrested here. Does it offend you that I support a genocide?
I don't have an opinion.
I support genocide. Is that a problem for you?
Yes, it is.
If you support the bombing of innocent men, women and children, you won't get arrested.
I wouldn't get arrested, but I can't be like you.
I'm supporting a genocide. Do you think I should get arrested? Will I get arrested?
No. You should be arrested.
He's asking whether you've decided to be carried or you're going to walk.
I will walk. I've got spinal problems.
Is it the fact that I'm not in my 80s that I'm not going to get arrested? Because you only seem to like arresting really old people. I support genocide. That's absolutely fine. You've still got a chance to support genocide and not be arrested. You know that.
I still don't.
Well, good luck in the cells. Well, yeah, why won't they arrest me? They're arresting my friend here.
Why haven't you been arrested yet, mate?
Well, I'm
going to arrest you.
Where have my friends gone? They've all been arrested for protesting against a genocide. And here I am, all alone, unarrested for supporting a genocide. But let me come clean. Of course I don't support a genocide. How could you when you'd see the destruction at the hands of the Israeli government in Gaza? If we care about our human rights, we must defend our right to protest, especially against genocide.
Yeah, except that, as Lance pointed out, his protesters there don't support his right to support genocide. In other words, they don't agree with him, and they want to shut him down as well. Here's what he put together. If you look at this, oh wait a minute, that's a different one here.
You should be arrested.
Yeah. The problem with the protest actually is a repeat of the Hong Kong high-rise fire. By the way, Let me show that here. Look at this. This is a fire that burned for several days. This is a complex of a lot of high-rise apartment complexes in Hong Kong. Hundreds of people died from this. You notice something? The buildings, after days of being on fire, even though these are just residential buildings, they're still standing. They didn't collapse into their footprint. How did that happen?
Strange.
They must be making this out of some super material in Hong Kong that we don't have in New York.
Obviously, they changed the building codes. No, wait, they didn't.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't do that. Yeah, that's what Tony Rook was talking about in the UK. So if we're supposed to believe that these buildings collapsed because of fire, very minor fire in Building 7, for example, it was not even hit with a plane, then how is it that we haven't changed the firefighting procedures or the building codes? There ought to be changes in all that. And, of course, it stands as a singular moment in time where steel structures just collapsed in their own footprint after a couple of hours of fire. And so
I fixed that video in the deck.
Oh, you did. So here's the problem with the protest.
I'm supporting a genocide. Do you think I should get arrested?
Yes! You should be arrested.
Why haven't you been arrested yet, mate?
Well, I'm
going to arrest you.
See, these people don't support free speech either. Here's the thing. If you support free speech, if you don't support the views that you oppose, right, as people will paraphrase it, I may disagree with everything that you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it, right? If you don't do that, you don't support free speech. So those people who are protesting the genocide, that's fine, except they also don't support free speech. So his whole point was that they're arresting people for showing, having an opinion that the government doesn't agree with. And yet the people there on the street want you arrested if they don't agree with your position either.
It's more of a protest to say, hey, the government needs to be arresting the people I don't like instead of a protest in support of free speech. Or at least that's how it seemed at a few points. We might have been taking things out of context and implying things they didn't mean to imply. But you have to be careful with these protests. They have everyone yelling, yeah, arrest him. Isn't a great look.
No, I think you're right, Lance, because I see this everywhere, you know, not just in the UK, but I see it in America as well. People do not support the free speech of somebody that they disagree with. And the more they disagree with them, the more they demand this person be silenced. Take a look at Nick Fuentes, for example. I don't agree with anything Nick Fuentes says. Nothing at all. And yet, I think he has a right to say it. And the conservatives don't think that's the case. They want to purge him and cancel him. And, of course, we have seen what Mark Levin wants to do to people who disagree with Netanyahu and the Israeli government.
Personally, I think Nick Fuentes and Mark Levin should have a cage match. You know, we put them in the same room and let them tear at each other.
Let them scream at each other. Yeah, just if we can put it in a soundproof room so we don't have to hear it. But anyway, the bottom line is that nobody understands or appreciates or supports the principle of free speech. That's the key thing. And so that's why the people are saying, you know, shut this guy down. There is no, we don't understand that you're not going to have free speech if you don't stand for the speech of people that you disagree with. Well, Campbell's is denying that they have lab-grown meat after that recording that came out where the guy says, yeah, we're 3D printing this chicken or whatever that's in the soup. I wouldn't eat this stuff. It's now being investigated by Florida's attorney general because there's a law in Florida that they put on the books to say that you are not going to be creating lab-grown meat. And so
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Campbell's has come back and said, well, it's not lab-grown meat. What we were talking about on the label where it says bioengineered products, ingredients, the company said this refers to genetically modified crops like canola, corn, soybean, sugar, beets, etc. They're grown by the vast majority of American farmers. The language on our labels refers to ingredients derived from those crops and not the chicken. Well, Florida has a statewide ban on lab-grown meat, but of course they don't have a ban on genetically modified plants. And this is why when that person goes into Aldi and looks at all the ingredients, everything and pretty much all the American food has bioengineered ingredients now, because they've gone in and genetically modified the plants. So
also, it's funny that it's, oh, don't worry, it's just the canola oil, the corn starch, the soybean, the sugar beets. It's everything in there except for the chicken. But it's not the chicken, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on that part, though.
Yeah, but we feed all that stuff to the chicken, and we just start injecting the chickens with mRNA vaccines at the behest of Brooke Rollins, the Trump U.S. Department of Agriculture appointee. That's how they did it this time, with the handoff between the Democrats and Republicans and vice versa. So you've got the Biden administration going in and using a PCR test as an excuse to kill millions of chickens. And then the Trump administration comes in and says, we'll stop killing your chickens if you start injecting them for our partners, the pharmaceutical companies. So the injected chicken, as well as a chicken that is fed all this GMO stuff as well. So the Attorney General in Florida said his office would demand answers from Campbell's and shut it down if they were really using any lab meat and so forth. But this article from Children's Self Defense points out that lab-grown meat meets the definition of cancer. This is what I've said before. You have these eternal cell lines, and they just keep reproducing. And that's why I called it, you know, tumor steak, you know, instead of tube steak, which people call hot dogs. You know, I got tumor steaks. Or I guess you could have the T-bone is actually a tumor bone steak. And cultivated meat uses techniques developed in biopharma industry. Producers take cells from live animals or from a cell bank. They create immortalized cells from cultured stem cells. They grow them in large steel tanks called cultivators or bioreactors. And the National Cancer Institute has noted that uncontrolled, indefinite cell division is the defining feature of cancer cells. So it is not an exaggeration to call these things tumor meat. A point critics invoke when arguing against the lab-grown meat, and I've said this a long time ago, and I even played that clip from Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, it's not a tumor. He said, I got a headache. And the kid said, maybe it's a tumor. It's not a tumor. So the food is not a tumor either, I guess. Trump slammed Biden's $52 billion CHIPS Act. Then he used it to buy a federal stake in Intel, says Reason. Biden said companies are investing in America again. Instead, though, the reality is that America is investing in companies and getting little in return, because when the government is making the investments, it's always a malinvestment. They're going to invest in their friends, and they're going to invest in failing companies. In March, Trump blasted the CHIPS Act. They called it, it's an acronym, supposedly creating helpful incentives to produce semiconductors. That's what it stands for. What it actually is just graft, corruption, and central planning. He called it a horrible, horrible thing. It was passed under Biden, and the CHIPS Act was essentially a $52 billion industrial policy slush fund intended primarily to bolster domestic production of computer chips. Early grants largely went to either the factories that were already in development or that would have been built anyway. So the facilities, it questions whether there was any economic value to have additional taxpayer funding. Trump was on solid ground. He told Congress, he said, you should get rid of the CHIPS Act, and whatever is left over, you should use it to reduce debt or any other reason you want to. Yet, in the months since, Trump has made use of the CHIPS funding not to reduce the debt, but to pursue his own questionable industrial policy. His version is even less accountable and may well be even worse for taxpayers. There's your difference between the Democrats and Republicans. Intel was set to receive $11 billion to help fund the construction of semiconductor fabs in several states. By late summer, the company said it had already received more than $5 billion of the fund, but Intel struggled to fulfill those commitments, falling further behind on factory construction in some places and laying off workers as it suffered from ongoing financial and managerial problems. By the middle of 2025, Intel looked very much like a failing business. This is pretty amazing. I mean, I've not really kept up with electronics and chips and you know, until just recently, Lance was telling me about how NVIDIA and their sister company, which is AMD, it's AMD, isn't it? How they basically have frozen Intel out of the CPU market, certainly out of the GPU market. Intel was not really a player there, but they've really lost competition to AMD, and which is really surprising because the whole time that I was in it, Intel was just dominant, absolutely dominant. But now, under new management, they've got a CEO called Lip Bu Tan, we just couldn't succeed in America without these geniuses that we bring in from other countries, right? Must be an H-1B visa recipient that's come in to do it. Intel was American built. It was American managed when it was successful. And now it is not successful with Lip Bu Tan. Essentially, the U.S. government would produce a roughly 10% stake in the chip maker, partially nationalizing the company. That's the other issue. Nationalizing production. That's what Trump wants to do. Funds from chip are used to do this. It was a good deal for the company, but the taxpayers get the bill. So we're going to have privatized profits and public expense. The risks will now be borne by the taxpayers. Fundamentally, Trump gave Intel a federal bailout, removing the company's public obligations and accountability while loading more financial risk onto the public. When the CHIPS Act passed in 2022, the Biden administration celebrated it by declaring that, quote, companies are investing in America again. But under both Biden and Trump, just the opposite was true. America was investing in companies that couldn't make it on their own and aren't going to be successful in the long term. Meanwhile, we have three casinos are going to be licensed in New York City. That's just what they need, is more gambling. They've already got Wall Street. They've already got the biggest casino in the world, but that's not enough. They're going to have three more of them, and the guy who owns the Mets, Steve Cohen, won approval. He's going to open a casino close to their stadium there. And so, again, more non-productive use of capital. New York Times is torching Tim Walz after the Somalian scam woke Minnesota for $1 billion on his watch. I mean, even the New York Times is coming after him. And so maybe we should call this Sharia Gate. A massive, sprawling fraud scandal that federal prosecutors say siphoned over $1 billion from Minnesota's social safety net programs. Now, here's the kicker. To put this in perspective, $1 billion is more than the entire state spends in a year to run its Department of Corrections, which is where all these people belong. I got a correction here. We need to put these people in prison. The fraud involved a series of schemes, and we talked about this. We won't go back into it, but it's the Somalis and the Al-Shabaab and all the rest of this stuff.
And this is a continual problem.
And they look the other way because they vote Democrat, right?
People come here. They come here to leech off the system. They come here to steal what they can, whatever they can get away with, anything that's not nailed down. America is nothing more than an economic zone to these people. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about what it was founded for. They simply care that, oh, look, I bet I can make money. I bet I can take advantage of these people.
That's right. Yeah.
And every single one of them needs to be shipped back at minimum.
They're not coming for freedom. They're coming for free stuff. That's the difference from the Ellis Island experience.
And as before, there is the appropriate number of Somalians for America is zero. Zero. Not a single Somali is necessary for the United States to function or keep going forward. Every single one could be sent back and not a thing would happen. No one would notice.
By the way, Lance, pull up this article here and show people this picture of Laura Loomer. She is now a Pentagon-approved
press person. All right, everyone, careful.
Drum roll.
You're about to see something terrifying.
One picture is worth a thousand words, said one person about this. She gets a desk at the Pentagon, and some of the people who are kicked out by Warpete because you are going to say exactly what we tell you, and they're not even trying to conceal it anymore. You know, Operation Mockingbird of the CIA would tell people what to say, and they would give them access. But now they're saying, we're going to kick you out of the Pentagon press pool if you don't say exactly what we say and no more, no less. And so they kicked everybody out except for, I think it was News Nation, was that it? And, you know, some small right-wing Trump-sucker media. And so now they've got another Trump-sucker, Laura Loomer, as one person said, imagine the idea that the Pentagon is going to have a serious press conference given the current situation. The only people there will be groupies and influencers. You know, people like Laura Loomer. And it's pretty amazing.
How is she going to get to the press conference when people keep slashing your tires, though? It's going to be a real
problem. Did somebody slash your tires?
No. Oh. It's that old story where her tires rotted out on her car because she didn't drive it, and they just sat there. Then she put up a GoFundMe or something. Help, the woke left has slashed my tires. Everyone's like, you can clearly see the tires have just rotted, Laura.
Yeah, well, If you follow the MAGA people, it will rot your brain, not just your tires, but I am tired of it, I gotta say. And this is an interesting observation from World Magazine. They said, Christmas music still unites us. Said in the December 1995 issue of the American Spectator, Mark Stein had an article. He said, it's the best time of the year. He wrote about what he called the American Christmas. He said that what he meant by that was it's an occasion where popular songs are able to unify a country. He said, we don't have pop culture anymore, but uniquely in today's fragmented market, seasonal songs cross all boundaries. Now, the way I always looked at it, I thought it crossed generational and time boundaries. That's about the only time of the year that you can get everybody to listen to, let's say, classical orchestral music or you know, music from the 40s or 50s or something like that. I mean, Bing Crosby's White Christmas is still played a lot. And so that was one of the things I always liked about Christmas music was the fact that it was so varied in terms of different genres and different time periods and so forth. And it is still there, which is really kind of surprising. Every generation will sometimes introduce something, whether it's good or bad, that will be a real hit. But they still go back and go to the historical songs. They said 30 years later, the market is more fragmented than ever, but seasonal songs still cross boundaries. Stein had this in mind, pop songs such as White Christmas and Winter Wonderland, but he could just as easily have been talking about Handel's The Messiah. We're going to take a break here. We got a couple of comments. You want to read those?
Yes, please. Con Think. Thank you very much, Con Think. Really do appreciate it. I would love it if you could make a sequel album with full-length selections in regards to the Christmas Night album.
Well, I'd love to do that, too. It's just become increasingly difficult for me to you know, the stroke really slowed me down, and I couldn't work at all on any of this stuff for several months. I was completely out of it, and you couldn't use my left hand. And so some of that stuff is coming back. I'm trying to do some new music, and I think we got one or two new songs this year. But, yeah, that is a goal of mine. I want to try to do that.
Working towards it. Stealth Patriot, thank you very much, Stealth Patriot. We appreciate it, and again, it's your support that keeps us on air. So, Stealth Patriot, you are what's keeping us on.
Thank you.
He says, they called the Viet Cong soldiers Charlie. What are they going to call the Venezuelan soldiers in Latin Vietnam 2.0? We'll have to figure that out. That's to be decided, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Maybe since we're a more mature and older nation, we call them Charles's?
Yeah. I don't know. It has to be something Spanish. What's Spanish for Charlie?
El
Carlos's.
Charlie.
Yeah, the Carlos's out there, I guess.
A.P. Yeah. Rumble Seat. They're revolting and saying no to the enforced hell in Britain. The public there is waking up.
Yes, as a matter of fact, let me play this. This is, since you bring that up, I have an interesting clip. This is the New Republican Movement. These are some Irish guys. It looks very much like the old Irish Republican Army that was pushing back against the British. And, of course, you had the war there and the terrorist events that were taking place.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And things like that, and they would put out these videos where they would sit there all masked up and everything. They've got another one now, but they're not talking about whether or not Ireland is being ruled by the Brits. They're talking about the fact that Britain is being overwhelmed by foreign immigrants. Listen to what they have to say.
Looks like an IRA thing. We, the New Republican Movement, have watched their councillors and MLAs over the past 12 months. The level of disrespect shown to the people who put you into power, this cannot be ignored any longer. We are proud men of Ireland. We are patriots. Your policies and decision-making regards to flooding our communities with undocumented military-age men is not acceptable. We will not sit back any longer and watch our culture and religion destroyed by the people we put in power. Also, the sexual indoctrination of our children in schools has not went unnoticed either. The New Republican Movement will take immediate action against anyone who threatens our ways of life and the safety of our women and children. We have your addresses and known your movements. Every one of you are legitimate targets as of today. The New Republican Movement, the 28th of 11, 25.
That's interesting. Now, those guys are not government plants. You always be careful about that.
Yeah, big if there.
Yeah, big if. If they're not government plants, if this is not some kind of a false flag thing, my response would be, what has taken them so long to respond to all this stuff? But again, I don't think that vigilante violence is the answer to anything. When Karen and I were in the UK back in the early 1980s, I remember we came out of a Gilbert and Sullivan thing, and this big bomb that went off down the street. It was pretty surprising. At first, it's like, you know, it's like when people hear a gunshot in an area where they don't expect it. You know, you think, well, that was a firecracker that went off. So you're thinking all the different things it could be. The last thing that came into my mind was a bomb till people started yelling about it. I don't agree with terrorist attacks. I don't agree with vigilante violence. I think it's important for war to be justified, for it to be done openly, and for the reasons to be declared. I don't like it when we have people on either side wearing masks. That is an indication that they know that what they're doing is not legit. And but it is interesting. This may be what they want. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
The Irish have given the British more trouble than any other group of people throughout history.
Yeah.
The Irish have absolutely refused to back down over the years. When they want something, if a portion of the population wants it bad enough, they will just sit there and they will make the British miserable.
Yeah. Of course, the British have done a deal on the Irish as well. But
the Irish
unlike
have suffered.
The Scots, they never really came to any kind of a détente, you know. Scotland, I guess it helped that they put in King James. But
like, all right, well, yeah.
And then there's the Welsh. They just get along with everybody and sing.
The Welsh are small enough that you just kind of forget they exist until someone reminds you, like, oh, yeah, Wales is there. That's right. There's Wales.
We did go to Wales, and it's some of the nicest people we ever met were there, I got to say. Yeah.
So Bogus says, I love etymology in the morning. Robot from the Czech Robotnik, forced worker from robota, forced labor, compulsory service, drudgery from robotity, to work, drudge. Also, yeah. Dr. Robotnik is Sonic's villain, so you've got that too. You
know? Yeah. And the drudge report.
Important.
Maybe it'll change the drudge report to robot report when it's done by AI, right?
Hi, Boost. Data centers are union construction workers' dreams. I have two friends that are building a data center in Sandusky, Ohio. Right, meow. That's right, meow.
Yeah, they are really searching for people to do real stuff. Again, having real trade skills, people are realizing what a bad deal college is, and a lot of people are pushing for trade stuff. You got to have the real world. You can't live in this virtual reality, even though that's what Silicon Valley tells us. They're telling you a lie.
And video games are fun. I enjoy them myself, but you got to do other things. You got to actually spend time in the real world. It's important. Otherwise, you slip away. Brian DeBacartney, one of my best friends, sees and documents the growth of data centers in Virginia. I'm sure they're pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
Jerry Alitalo, the artificial intelligence bubble is set for total collapse due to widespread, rapidly growing opposition to digital slavery dystopia.
That's right.
No, sir. Do not turn off the AI, sir. Do not turn off the AI. I need my job, sir. JWD68, eminent domain, is the AI data center's friend. That's right. Yep. Take whatever they need. Whether it's your water or your land. Brian and Deb McCartney, I got groped at every turn in October on my trip to Florida for not having real ID. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I hate flying so much, because I refuse to go through the machines as a matter of principle, and because I want to be a monkey wrench in the system as much as I can. So whenever I fly, I get them really pissed off because I demand that I not go through the machine and that they search me. So they go, well, we got to go get somebody to do that. Stand over here. They invariably will tell me to stand right next to the machine, the radar, the X-ray machine, which I, you know, they know what they're doing. And I know what they're doing, and I don't stand next to that machine. But it really does bother them. And I never forgot the opt-out, protest that was going to happen. And it was such a problem for them that they just shut down all screening and let everybody go through on Thanksgiving holiday, the busiest travel day of the year. And so I want to be a wrench in that machinery as much as I can. So I always refuse. And I hate the process as much as they do. But we can't
Doug,
comply.
Doug 007 says, wait, you said it was the TSA who would be fining people for not having the real ID?
That's right.
Yep.
They determined what the amount was going to be. We're going to fine people, and here's what the amount is going to be. And first they publish it in the register, you know, because they'll... This is the way the government actually works. You know, forget about the Schoolhouse Rock version. You know, I'm a bill on Capitol Hill. That it doesn't work that way. Congress has abdicated their legal authority to the executive branch and to the bureaucracy. So they don't do anything anymore except collect paychecks and hold hearings and dog and pony shows. So the way it happens is you have these bureaucracies make up the rules. And they, when they make up a rule, they publish it on the register, they take comments for a while, and then they do as they please. They don't care what, whether you like it or not. And so I think what it really is kind of just publishing it on the register is just kind of a way for them to take the temperature of the public, and if it's something that's going to create a lot of waves, they might back off of it because they don't want to lose their system that they have set up. But they published that they were going to charge people $18, and then they said, well, after the comment period, I guess there weren't enough comments where people were angry, so they decided that they would up it to $45.
Thank you, bureaucrats. Very cool. Brandon Bennett, I'm in one of the five states that Real ID is mandatory, and it's a red state now.
Yeah, well, you know, when I got my license here, I thought that it was, they were asking me for all this paperwork and everything. I thought, man, this is really getting crazy. And so, because I'd let my license expire in Texas, I didn't drive much. And so anyway, I had to get the license again. And massive amounts of paperwork. And then like I finished and said, now you got a real ID. Aren't you excited about this? It's like, no, I didn't want that. But they didn't charge me extra for it here in Tennessee, as far as I know. It was a lot of paperwork, big paper chase.
It's amazing. They can't even give you a break when they're forcing you into their system.
Yeah.
And he goes, Sonita, and they said Real ID was voluntary. How does something that's voluntary now require a fine? Next, they'll change it to a misdemeanor ticket, and you'll end up with a bench warrant if you don't pay up.
Yeah. Well, they're lying, of course, when they say that. And they say that all the time about they say that the income tax is voluntary as well. Remember that? I mean, every year when they would mail out the paper forms, before you get the forms online, it always had in the very back a message from the IRS commissioner that that the income tax is voluntary. We all know what happens if you don't volunteer, right? And then the same type of thing with when they had paper maps of the individual states, we'd get these in the back. There would always be a message from the governor of that state talking about how driving was a privilege. It's like, no, it's not. Moving around is a fundamental human right. It's not a privilege. But just, you know, try driving around without a license, which I know a lot of the sovereign citizens do, but I also know that the government that lies to you about things being a privilege and things being voluntary also has no scruples when it comes to giving you due process and a fair hearing about the legitimacy of their orders. They will do whatever they wish to you. So just keep that in mind before you get caught up in the legal arguments. Mm-hmm. They don't care about what's legal. They are calling people seditious and saying they need to be executed because you got congressmen telling people in the military, you must not follow illegal orders. No, you tell them that, I'm going to put you in jail, right? So that's the reality of the government that we have here.
Fuzzy Mateo, many of the CDLs issued with no name given were real IDs. Real ID will soon become digital ID, but it's for your safety, don't you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all just part of the surveillance stuff that they're ramping up. There's nothing real about it. So
right.
The biometric, yeah.
Right, Overture says, my wife and I flew recently. Even with the so-called real ID, my wife was told to stand aside because the scanner kept going off because she had knee replacements, even though she had a medical card. Well, that's because it's about harassing you. Mm. And also, most of the TSA workers are very, very dumb. Very, very dumb. Low IQ individuals. Con think real ID isn't better. It's just an annoyingly harder to fulfill the requirements of proof of residence.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they add something new, it gets more and more difficult because you need all the previous forms of ID they made you get to get the new one.
Unless, wait, of course, you just put no name, given no address, or whatever.
I don't.
That's
no,
my plan.
No habla español.
That's my plan for when I need to update my ID. I'm going to call up and fake an Indian accent and tell them that. Hello, sir. No. Do not have a place of residence, sir. Can't think. It's almost like they're making the red tape for an ID so tedious that we will just be begging to give them blood samples and fingerprints stopped out of all the paper requirements.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think you got it.
That's also part of how they're going to get rid of cash. or any other form but their stable coins. They will make it incredibly tedious. They will make it very, very difficult to spend your money in any other way.
That's part of what they're doing with the penny ban, right? Yeah, it's not about saving money. They don't care about it. When do they ever care about saving money? And it's not like you got to print the penny gets ripped up and torn up like paper money every year, so you got to print another penny. That's not the case.
Most of the pennies are still kicking around.
Yeah, and they're not banning those machines where you put a quarter in and then get it to press the penny. Remember the things we did that for you guys?
They're still around.
Yeah, they're
for
still
now,
around.
But those are going to fade away too. So get your pressed pennies while you can until you can no longer. James Faithways. Hey, can someone post the name of David Knight's shop? I want to buy his Christmas album. Well, you can go to davidknight.news.
Yeah, that's it.
And find it there.
All of the stuff is there on that website.
Yeah, davidknight.news, and you can find the album, t-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of other things. And davidknight.news. AP Rumble Seat. Everything you see happening in the UK is planned to visit here in the States. They launched beta tests in various places. That's why it's essential not to comply. You pointed out.
That's right.
It's just the UK is between 10 to 20 years ahead of the United States, depending on where you look at in terms of their tyranny. And we seem to be catching up to them.
Yeah, the leftist ideas seem to premiere in the UK. Then they go to New York or California. Then they go into the...
also Canada. They can sometimes show up in Canada first and trickle down.
Yeah.
But UK, Canada, then California, then New York. T-Dub, 97401. The building was constructed with old passports. That's right. That's why it didn't collapse. That's what protected them.
I like that. What about the building across the street? Did it fall over too?
The building across the street got the vapors. It just couldn't contain itself anymore.
It's contagious.
Christian constitutional conservative. People don't like being censored, but love censoring if they have the power to do so.
That's right.
That's right. That's why I'm in chat banning all of you all the time. You will fear my wrath and power.
Yeah.
The real octo spook, cancer meat. Good.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens. It's not a tumor. That's right. It's not a tumor. It's delicious, delicious tumor-esque meat.
It's not tuna.
It's not a tuna.
It's a killer T-bone.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of killer T-cells, it's killer T-bone, as Lance pointed out.
Well, we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
It's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars,
let's go,
and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is the beat.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
And again, we thank APS Radio for their support and also for carrying the show on their news channel list there. Here are the ads. They have a lot of different genres of music that are there, and they have a news channel as well, and we are there at APS Radio. Let's take a look at this press conference that Caroline Leavitt had, responding to the accusations from all corners that this was a war crime, that it was murder. And so you have, as a matter of fact, Mark Kelly has taken center stage, and this is a problem. Mark Kelly is a gun-grabbing Democrat, and he's got a lot of other policy issues as well. But he's somebody who's not focused on all the LGBT stuff like so many of the New York and California Democrats. And so he is more palatable to the general public because he's not gotten into that aspect of things. And what Trump is doing is elevating him to kind of a status that I hate to see him elevated to, but that's the way these guys play the game. And he said that War Pete is a 12-year-old playing Army in a press conference yesterday. I think that's a pretty succinct description of Pete Hegseth. He said, this guy is so unqualified for the job. I mean, think about this. He turns around on a stage talking about lethality and warrior ethos and killing people. We have the most competent, capable military this planet has ever seen by far. That's not the message that needs to come from the Secretary of Defense. He said Hegseth should be talking about mission and accountability and making sure that members of the military are trained and equipped to do really hard jobs. Instead, he runs around on a stage like he's a 12-year-old playing Army. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. And I can't imagine what our allies think of looking at that guy in this job, one of the most important jobs for our country. Kelly's video on refusing illegal orders is what has set him up at war with War Pete. War Pete wants to court-martial him, even though he's out of the military. I'm not really sure how that works. Does he lose benefits or something? I mean, he's got a lot of benefits with the Senate, and I think this is a very stupid fight to pick. This is one of the key things. If you're going to be commander-in-chief, if you're going to be head of what you want to now call the War Department, maybe you need to pick your battles wisely, if not ethically. The White House on Monday said that Admiral Mitch Bradley gave the order. And this is exactly what Jason Barker was talking about. This is the plan to throw the subordinates under the bus. And can imagine that this blame is going to fall maybe further down the chain of command as things heat up on this, because everybody sees what this is. And it was pretty amazing what happened at the press conference. We'll play it for you here in a second here. But anyway, Hegseth is calling these six lawmakers who released the video the seditious six. Isn't that interesting? Because it's now sedition to say that you must not follow illegal orders. You've got to follow the Constitution instead. Why is that sedition? Because Trump thinks that he is what everybody needs to follow, not the Constitution. The Constitution has been dethroned by Trump, and Trump is now king. So if you don't obey his unconstitutional, illegal orders, then you're guilty of sedition. And, you know, it's not just him that's saying it. It was pretty amazing to me to see. I went around and looked at conservative media sites to see what people are saying about this this war crime, this murder that took place. And pretty much it's been ignored by all of the conservative sites, pretty much. There was an interesting pointed question that was made by a Fox News reporter yesterday. We're going to play that for you. However, when you look at places like Breitbart, WorldNet Daily, InfoWars, they're ignoring this. As a matter of fact, InfoWars, look at this headline here. I took a screenshot of this. This is Monday War Room. Democrat Mark Kelly continues his seditious six operations to advance U.S. color revolution. This is just cut and paste nonsense, folks. They want to throw color revolution in there because of Soros. Soros doesn't have anything to do with any of this part. And to call them seditious because they told people that you must disobey illegal orders. That's not sedition. That's patriotism. You guys are bought and sold. I don't know. How much did Trump pay you? Or is it that you know that you get your money from the people who follow Trump like some kind of a messiah if you refer to him as the king? That disgusts me. I tell you, I wouldn't be working there now at this point. I would have gone off on this thing anyway. Hegseth said Kelly is still subject to the Universal Code of Military Justice, and he knows that. We're going to come after him, right? You know, let's see how that works. This is a stupid war that you're picking, just like the Venezuelan war is a stupid war you're picking. Foreign and domestic, your policies are stupid, illegal, unconstitutional. This is the Secretary of Defense. This is not a serious person, said Kelly. He should have been fired after Signalgate. And then he should have been fired every single day after that. You know, how do you wind up trying to spin this to say that this is some kind of a Soros color revolution? That's what I'd like to know. It's insane. And it is not sedition. It is patriotism to follow the Constitution rather than an illegal dictation from a dictator. Kelly then expressed his disgust at a children's book meme that Hegseth posted on social media. He said, last night, he's putting out on the internet turtles with rocket-propelled grenades. I mean, have you seen this? This is the Secretary of Defense doing this. This is not a serious person. Hegseth has threatened Kelly with court-martial for reminding troops not to follow illegal orders if they come from the administration. What is it that they don't understand about that? And so, as I said, pretty much every news site has ignored this. They've either said nothing at all about it, or maybe there'll be one small article. Like here's an example, Breitbart, right? Oh, wait, that's the wrong clip. There, we got a... Can you put that in for me or pull that up? I took a screenshot of Breitbart, and they've only got one small article on the site, not a headline thing, about the fact that we had the U.S. government go back and execute people that they unlawfully and unconstitutionally attacked in the first place. And this was the very first boat strike, if you remember this. And we already had people in the military, the JAG. These are the people who look at the legal issues around. Thank you for putting that up. All right, there's Breitbart. You can't even see it. Pull it up again, Lance. You can't even see the article there. You have to zoom in on it. It's over there to the right. The big thing is that there was a nativity play at a church where they had baby Jesus zip-tied and Roman soldiers as ICE agents. I'm sorry, but that's not as big an issue as the fact that this is just another woke church, apostate church. It's hardly even news anymore. But I think it is news when you have, go down a little bit further, you got to look for it. There it is. Kelly says that Hegseth authorizing the second boat strike was incompetence at the highest level. They didn't even put the real quotes. People were saying it was murder, right? It wasn't just incompetence. They, if you remember their initial reports of this, they said that the boat turned around and ran away when it saw the U.S. helicopters or planes, whatever it was, coming in. So it was not an armed conflict. They were running away from it. And we made that point. We said there's no justification for them to attack these boats in the first place. There is no declared war. There's no law that allows them to do this. You know, I think one of the reasons why they called the drug war, is because they didn't want to call it prohibition. If they called it prohibition, which is what it is, then people might have asked, well, wait a minute, we had constitutional amendments for prohibition. Where's the constitutional amendment for the drug war? But then it becomes a war on the American people and a war on the Constitution. And now it is a war on other countries, a kinetic war. And so it was completely unjustified. And a complete repudiation of the way they have handled this illegal drug war. The boat was running away from them, and that was the big scandal. Now it's an even bigger scandal. They hit the boat with missiles, and then the survivors who were struggling in the water, trying to stay afloat, they ordered to have them killed. Again, that is against every moral and legal principle of American and international law. So how do you excuse that? And why would that not be a big issue with Breitbart? They don't even doesn't even warrant a headline for them. It's stuck off on the side, and then they pull out a quote that is really mild compared to the reality of what's been said by Mark.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Kelly and by other people. And notice that the people who are reading Breitbart really didn't care much about that. They only got 400 comments about that, 433 comments. This is the state of the conservatives. They really don't care. Well, it's just disgusting to me. So, under fire after a Washington Post report revealed that War Pete gave the order to kill everyone aboard an alleged drug-running boat from Venezuela. At the press conference, Leavitt had previously said during the briefing that the order came from Admiral Frank M. Bradley, who was authorized by Hegseth. And again, I think this is part of passing the buck down to subordinates who will be paying the price for this. I think perhaps that's one of the reasons why the guy who was the commander of, I think it's Southcom, they call it, He stepped down 1 year into his 3-year term. He got out of this thing because I think he could see this coming. And so here's the press conference question.
Following up on Gabe's question, you said that the follow-up strike was lawful. Mm-hmm. What law is it that allows no survivors?
The strike
conducted on September 2nd was conducted in self-defense to protect Americans in vital United
States interests. She
doesn't reply. The strike was conducted in international waters and in accordance with the law of armed conflict.
Mm-mm. That's not true. She reads a press statement. This reminds me of, Dick Devine, or what's his name, Levine or something.
Levine.
The tranny that put in as the number two at HHS.
He goes by Rachel now.
But that's right. Rachel is what he calls himself, yeah.
Yeah.
His name was Richard. I call him Dick Devine. Anyway, he was asked these questions, you know, about, and he went, well, that's a very complicated issue. And he had this pat little non-response that he just kept reading over and over again. I'd be happy to talk to you in another place because this is a very complicated issue. And that's exactly what she does. She doesn't answer the question. It's a very good question from the Fox reporter. What law allows no survivors? How is that ever warranted? It is never warranted. That's the point. When you look at the rules of military engagement or the rules of police engagement, there's never a situation where you just go in and kill everybody, right? So what law is that? So she just read back a canned response and didn't reply to that. So then they follow up on it.
Why won't the administration either confirm or deny or reveal whether or not there were survivors after that initial first strike? And what imminent threat would two survivors pose who were clinging presumably to the wreckage?
Yeah, what threat is that?
As I said, I think you guys are sort of not listening fully to the statement I've provided. Admiral Bradley worked well with the authority and the
law, didn't reply,
directing the engagement to ensure the boat was totally destroyed and the threat to the narco-terrorists, to the United States, was eliminated. And for any further questions about his thinking, I would defer you to the Department of War. I obviously wasn't in the room.
Yeah, in other words, I can't do anything except read this canned non-response that is absolutely a lie. So again, that's another point. You know, what is the law that allows this? And then, oh, you say they are a threat to the U.S.? How are they a threat to the U.S. if they are out of combat, right? That's what the detailed article from Andrew McCarthy at National Review that I spent time on yesterday said, if somebody is out of combat, in other words, they're struggling to survive, they're wounded, they can't fight anymore. You're not allowed to kill them. That's called giving people no quarter. That's what was done by Santa Ana to the people at the Alamo. That is not a justified response. It'll never be a justified response. And I got to say, it just disgusts me to see these people parading their Christianity like Levitt does and like Pete Hegseth does. You know, they put up all these different things about her before she goes into a press conference. She has a prayer. Great. What do you do? Do you ask God for an indulgence for the lies you're about to tell on behalf of this dictator Trump? Is that what you're praying about? Going to get an indulgence on this or something? It's disgusting. On this pardon for the Honduran president, does it all undercut the administration's messaging? While you have these congressional Republicans defending the strikes on the narco-terrorists, and then a pardon for a convicted drug trafficker, does that make it more difficult for your members to defend your administration? Again, this reporter at Fox News, Heinrich, asked perfect questions. Good job. There's no answer for that. She said, well, I don't think so, Jackie. I think the President Trump has been quite clear in his defense of the U.S. homeland to stop these illegal narcotics from coming into our borders, whether that's by land or by sea. He's also made it clear that he wants to correct the wrongs of the weaponized Justice Department under the previous administration. All of this is a non-response. You know, when you look at this, if he wants to stop these illegal narcotics coming in, then why did he pardon one of the biggest drug lords, the former president of Honduras, at the same time they're murdering people who are thrashing in the water after an unjustified attack on them, an illegal attack? And then at the same time this is happening on yesterday, the son of El Chapo, you know, the guy who ran the Sinaloa drug cartel, gets a plea bargain with the Trump Department of Justice to make sure that he doesn't spend life in prison. And he's going to be able to get out in a few years with a parole because they struck a deal with him, a plea bargain. So talk to me about how the number one priority, and we got to do anything that it takes to stop these illegal drugs. Again, it'll never be stopped by force. It won't be stopped by force with law enforcement, and it won't be stopped by force by the military either. It is not, your hammer doesn't work on this problem. It's not a nail. It's something very different.
Which is exactly why they are using that as their MacGuffin.
Yeah, yeah. It is one of the most disgusting MacGuffins I've ever seen, this whole drug war thing. And, you know, I used to talk about it, and people would always get angry with me. Well, you like drugs, right? It's like, no, I don't use drugs. And I don't need an army of masked thugs kicking in doors to keep me off of drugs either. It's a spiritual issue. It's a personal choice issue. It's a medical issue. There's a lot of different ways that it could be attacked. But using law enforcement and police is a stupid approach. It's an illegal approach. It destroys our society. It destroys the rule of law. And that's why they do it. So Caroline Leavitt hammers the media after all this stuff because you had another reporter, again, this is a conservative commenter, John Fredericks. These guys are going to get banned for asking questions like this. He asks about the page that was put up just a couple of days ago. The White House unveiled a new page on their website calling out what it says are media offenders. At the top of the page will presumably be updated weekly. There is a section dedicated to the media offender of the week. So I guess maybe we should do the same thing. We should have the White House lie of the week. You know, last week's lie of the week was the illegal orders being sedition and treason. This year's lie of the week is that we had a duty, a responsibility to kill those people that were swimming in the water after we illegally shot the boat. She said, I'm glad you noticed. Our original promise on day one was to hold the media accountable because, unfortunately, we deal with this all day, every day around here. There are so many fake stories that that are unfortunately written that have inaccurate characterizations, you know, inaccurate characterizations of the war in Venezuela and what happened there in terms of killing survivors illegally, you know, characterizing it as self-defense, as neutralizing a threat. These people were not a threat. They were obviously out of combat. We talked about that yesterday, how you've got the Geneva Convention and the French term, hors de combat, right? Meaning these people are out of combat. They are out of action. And you have no right to kill them. That is simply murder. Caroline Leavitt outright denies that Hegseth ordered this second boat strike. And she reveals who did. As Hegseth is being attacked for doing this, she said, with respect to the strikes in question on September the 2nd, Secretary Hegseth authorized Admiral Bradley to conduct these kinetic strikes, and Admiral Bradley worked well within his authority and the law, directing the engagements to ensure the boat was destroyed and the threat to the U.S. was eliminated. Again, there is no threat to people who are struggling to survive in the water. There's no threat to the U.S. Again, just like there's no emergency for COVID, there's no emergency for tariffs. They have different lies every week at the Trump administration. And they go out and pardon some of the biggest drug dealers we've ever had, cut plea bargains with others. At the same time, they say that these mules, presumably if they even were doing drugs, that these mules are somehow a threat to the United States. It's all a lie. Just as Audi pointed out, it is all a lie. And that's the name of his podcast. The president has a right to take them out if they are threatening the United States and if they are bringing illegal narcotics in, which are killing our citizens at a record rate. Well, I tell you, it is not an emergency because this war on drugs has been going on now for 54 years. As I pointed out yesterday, you got all these conservatives who just love Richard Nixon. I guess they love the war on drugs because of what it allows them to do. They're like, let them play soldier. Let them play army. Let them play policeman. Let them do whatever they wish. Under the previous administration, she said, there was enough fentanyl traffic in our country to kill every American man, woman, and child many times over. Wait a minute, how are we still alive? Oh, didn't they tell us that same lie, the Trump administration, about the pandemic? That was not a threat to us either. They always make up these imaginary MacGuffins to do whatever they wish. CBS reporter Gabe Gutierrez asked for clarification. He said, so Admiral Bradley was the one that gave the order for the second strike? She said, yes, and he was well within his authority to do so. No, he wasn't. He was following illegal orders. What Bradley did, you murdering SOB, you violated the Constitution. You violated your oath to the Constitution.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You're not following legitimate orders. You don't have any authority if you violate the Constitution. Same thing is true of Hegseth. The same thing is true of Trump. But they're going to cut it off. They may even go after the subordinates of Bradley to protect the people at the top. So he's now the commander since October 3rd because the other guy's like, hey, I don't want any. This is a hot potato. I don't want to have anything to do with this. This is illegal. Yes.
They had so much fentanyl being imported to kill all America. We need herd sobriety in order to avoid this.
That's good, Lance. I like that. Herd sobriety. That's it. Yeah, your abstinence doesn't protect you. It's other people's abstinence that protects you, just like the mask, just like the vaccine, right? The vaccine doesn't protect you. The mask doesn't protect you. It's other people's mask, other people's vaccine, other people's sobriety. That's what protects you from doing all this stuff. I love that. That's great. So the former JAGS working group said there's two things here, two possibilities. Number one, if orders were given to kill incapacitated survivors, that is a war crime understood by every nation on earth. Number two, if the operation was not part of an armed conflict, and it wasn't, it's simply murder. Simply murder. And again, yesterday I read you a case laid out by Andrew McCarthy for the same thing. He says this is a war crime or worse. Who writes for National Review? He laid that out in detail yesterday. But again, that's the two options. If they killed incapacitated survivors, even if it was a war and a conflict, even if these people, even if it was an armed conflict and they were shooting back, after they're incapacitated, you can't kill them. And if it wasn't an armed conflict, and it wasn't because they were not shooting back, they were running away. They got shot in the back, essentially. And so it was simply murder. So again, the previous commander got out. This guy's been there since October the 3rd. He didn't want to have anything to do with this because he knew it was what this thing really was. But it gets even worse. As I was looking at these Trump sucking media people out there doing, you know, trying to defend Trump on every issue because they want to pander to the MAGA crowd that thinks that he is their messiah. That's why they do this stuff. The things that they were doing, putting out there, well, you have the seditious six They're being run by Soros. It's another color revolution. The most idiotic take I've ever seen on any of this stuff. But then they also put this up, InfoWars, the top of the thing here. Full must-watch interview. U.S. intelligence asset Patrick Byrne reveals the secret of why Trump is hell-bent on regime change in Venezuela. This guy, Patrick Byrne, is the billionaire who started Overstock, and he's been hanging around with Alex Jones and Michael Flynn a lot of different times. So, you know, they become an item, I guess. And they identify him as an intelligence asset, or I guess you just kind of abbreviate it ASS, period. That's what he is. If you have any doubts that Alex is controlled opposition, that he is a CIA shill, this ought to get rid of it. Alex has been pushing for this Venezuelan war. He's got Patrick Byrne on there saying, yeah, I'm connected to the intelligence people. This is why we got to do it. He's crossed over from the kind of guy who used to oppose lies about weapons of mass destruction that got us into Iraq, and now he is applauding lies about fentanyl to get us into Venezuela, saying it's a great thing and we need to go do that. It's absolutely disgusting to see what these people and the alternative mainstream media have been doing. It disgusts me, but they're not the only ones. You've got Megyn Kelly, who is, I think, the very definition of a prostitute, as Gerald Celente likes to call the press out there. She's willing to do anything and everything in order to get attention. And this is what she had to say about these war crimes.
So I really do kind of not only want to see them killed in the water, whether they're on the boat or in the water, but I'd really like to see them suffer. I would like Trump and Hegseth to make it last a long time so that they lose a limb and bleed out a little. Like, I'm really having a difficult time ginning up sympathy for these guys who 10 seconds earlier almost got taken out by the initial bomb, but because they managed to get ejected, you know, a little too soon, had to be taken out in the water. I realize legally it may make a difference, but truly,
like,
this is
a water.
Tough case to really gin up the sympathies of the American people.
Yeah.
And just when you think that Megyn Kelly can't get any more reprehensible, you know, she proves you wrong. You know, this is the same person who, just a couple of weeks ago,
how is that clip real?
Was putting up, at least she wasn't eight. You know, let's make America great again. There you go. That was the argument she was making, that, hey, you know, at least they didn't get eight-year-olds. They got 14 and 15-year-olds with Epstein and Trump and so forth, right? That's supposed to excuse it. I'm not really sure whether pedophilia is a crime. I'm not really sure whether machine-gunning people in the water is a crime or not. You might want to go back and look at the law. You're supposedly trained as a lawyer. That's supposedly what is on her resume, Megyn Kelly. When she interviewed me, when she came to do a hit piece on Alex Jones, she interviewed all of the people who were on air there. And when I expressed skepticism about Trump and the issues I had with him, I brought up civil asset forfeiture and the drug war. And she got this blank stare, said, what is civil asset forfeiture? She neither knows nor cares anything about the war on drugs or the Constitution. It's amazing how uninformed she was. All she does is, you know, whatever Roger Ailes or whoever was directing her told her to do. If they tell her to stand up and turn around, she does that. It's pretty amazing. Really a prostitute, if ever there was one. Why should we be surprised at what any of these people do after they have covered for the COVID lies and the crimes with that?
It's amazing to me that she's just flat out saying that.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing you would expect to be in a leaked audio call.
Yeah.
Not just flat out said on her podcast or wherever it was.
And why isn't this an outrage? You know, I mean, you know, now we get penalized for opposing genocide, and now it's a problem if we oppose killing people in the water that are out of combat when there never was a war to start with. Trump is saving Democrats from themselves with his latest attacks, and his also his alliances or his detentes is the headline that he made with Mom Danny, with Al-Qaeda terrorists and others. So the problem with this headline is that Trump is a Democrat. He is a Democrat. He's a globalist. He is a Zionist. He is a technocrat. He is all those things because he, again, is a prostitute for sale to whoever pays him. And the rest of these people, their job is to prostitute themselves in order to cover for him when people see what he's doing. Trump, for better or worse, has long built his political career on effectively attacking his opponents and exploiting their perceived weakness with the public. However, it seems that all of a sudden, Trump's political instincts may be faltering. Instead of exploiting the Democrats' weak spot, he is elevating one of their strong leaders onto the national stage. His attacks on Senator Mark Kelly have thrown the retired Navy captain and former astronaut into the political discourse in a whole new way. While Kelly may have been a rising star on the Democrats' bench, this is the first sustained tussle with Trump. Pete is now trying to court-martial Kelly. The fight appears far from over, and given the actual content of the clip, Kelly looks likely to prevail. Again, you're going to push somebody like Mark Kelly, who is about as anti-Second Amendment as you can get, a Democrat, and he is elevating the Syrian president, who is an Al-Qaeda, ISIS, al-Nusra terrorist, who is murdering Christians and other minorities in Syria, far worse than anything that ever happened under Bashar Assad, and then elevating Mom Danny. And they point out, they said last week he warmly embraced New York City Mayor-elect Mom Danny in the Oval Office. For months he had previewed his strategy of tying the Democrats nationally to Mom Danny, and now he just says, well, now we're going to praise him, right? He wanted to tie the Democrats to this guy and hurt them that way, but now he's praising him. Trump offered Mom Danny and his ideas a full-throated embrace that makes attacking him much harder for a GOP that is deeply loyal to Trump and reliant on his political instincts and his sway. But again, he has no principles. He's just for sale to the highest bidder. And he will do whatever it takes to get attention, even if it is crazy and stupid, like saying we're going to make Canada the 51st state and then attacking them for being a fentanyl supplier, all the rest of this stuff, to the point where now American athletes are getting booed by Canadian fans because we've never had this kind of poisonous relationship between the two countries until Trump created it. It's entirely plausible that Trump saw Mom Danny's message as similar to the one that he ran on and just didn't want to cede that ground to the Democrats. After all, Trump made many of the same empty populist promises that Mom Danny has based his 2024 campaign on. Trump promised immediately lower prices, which have not come down. He promised to end the war in Ukraine within the first 24 hours, and it continues. Similarly, Mom Danny's plans for free buses, raising property taxes, and arresting Netanyahu all are not possible. They face practical, political, and legal obstacles. So while it's still more likely than not that Trump flips on Mom Danny and goes back to attacking him before Election Day, for the time being at least, he's training his fire on Kelly. Kelly sparked Trump's ire this month by appearing in a public service announcement urging military members to question illegal orders and to, follow the Constitution. And for that, Trump calls him the part of the seditious six.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com. MotoCasino.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And so does Alex Jones, mimicking whatever nonsense and lies Trump puts out. And then he adds his own lies by trying to tie in Soros to this as well. The midterms are still a year away. A lot can change, but as of right now, Trump is helping to save the Democrats from themselves. Isn't it interesting? They want to have the two of them switching power back and forth. That gives them plausible deniability for what they're both doing to us. Just like, you know, they handed it over from Trump to Biden so they could do the, Trump creates a vaccine and then Biden does the mandates. And then they can say, oh, it wasn't the vaccine, it was the mandates that were evil. Well, Trump wants to hand this stuff back over to the Democrats. Again, left, right, and both of them can say the other guy did it. So if he's going to build up Kelly for a presidential run, even though Kelly wants to kill the Second Amendment, Trump doesn't care about that. He's fine with doing it. He did it himself, by executive order. And I'm sure that Kelly would use that Trump precedent of gun control by executive order to do his best to kill the Second Amendment, all handed to him by Trump. Well, the U.S. is rehearsing airstrikes against Venezuela, says the Wall Street Journal. And just in case you think that this has anything to do with drugs, here's Trump in 2011, really jumping into colonialism. You know, this, colonialism is a word that has been used as a pejorative term so much by the left that it's lost its meaning, in the same way that terms racist have lost their meaning or anti-Semitism have lost their meaning because they've been leveled at anybody that opposes their policy, and the person doesn't have to be racist or anti-Semitic, and you don't have to be a real colonialist to be accused of being a colonialist. And yet what Trump has proposed in 2011 really was a form of colonialism.
Ultimately, the people will appreciate it. They're going to end up taking over the country eventually, but the people will appreciate it, and they should pay us back. But we have to go in to save these lives.
Hey, we'll take the oil.
We should do on a humanitarian basis, immediately go into Libya, knock this guy out very quickly, very surgically, very effectively, and save the lives. After it's all done, we go to the protesters who end up running the country. They're going to like us a lot better than they will if we don't do it. More importantly, we're going to save lives. And we should then say, by the way, from all of your oil, we want reimbursement. We should have said, we'll help you, but we want 50% of your oil. They would have absolutely said, okay, 100%. In fact, they would have said, how about 75%? So, and isn't it sad? We could have had anything we wanted. We could have had 50% of those oil fields. You know, in the old days when you had a war, it's to the victor belong the spoils. So we could have had something special. When the so-called rebels came to us, we should have said, fellas, we're going to help you. We want 50% of your oil. They would have said, thank you very much. We have a deal. Write it down. Sign it. We have a deal. We would have been a rich nation again. They have tremendous oil reserves in Libya. Instead, we help. We get nothing. We're very, very foolishly led. Our leaders, unfortunately, are...
Yeah, in other words, a good leader is going to go in and shake them down. A good leader is going to steal their oil. And that's exactly what he's doing. There's a lot more oil in Venezuela than in Libya. There's a lot more oil in Venezuela than in Saudi Arabia. Could that be the motivation? As Gerald Celente says, you know, we're not in these different countries because they're selling bananas, okay? We're there because of the oil. If you look at what was happening with Syria, it wasn't so much even about their oil as it was about the transit of oil across their country. Which pipeline was going to be allowed? Was it going to be something coming from Russia or something coming from the UAE, I think it was, But we had our ally, and we wanted to transit the oil across Syria. The Russians had their own idea. Take a look at the pipelines going into Germany that were blown up, right? They blocked that off. They got the German government to block off that second pipeline until they blew them both up because they didn't want the Russians selling them the oil. They wanted to sell them the oil. And so that's the reality here. Trump is telling Maduro to flee as he is continually threatening him with land operations now. And again, he's operating like a corrupt colonial government, like a mafia don, which is all he understands. He grew up with organized crime. He grew up in casinos, strong arm tactics, corruption in terms of bribing officials and other things. That's where Trump comes from. He's not a builder. He's not a businessman. He's a crook. He's a mafia crook. And that's the way he's running this country. I'm sick and tired of him. Go ahead, Travis, read some of these comments here before we
go. Marky Mark in New Jersey. Thank you very much for the tip. He says, is it me or is Carolyn Leavitt a pretty and more polished version of Jen Circle Back? Zachy.
It's the lips. Remember how Trump went off on the lips and everything?
Kind I literally like, cannot picture what either of these two women look like right now, despite the fact we've been talking about them and they've been on screen. They are a void in my mind, and all I see is a silhouette.
Well, Trump doesn't talk about how smart she is. He just talks about those lips. Can you believe those lips?
Well, at least he doesn't lie about that, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of lip service she gets.
She's so smart. Okay, that one's too obvious. Even you guys won't buy that. Okay. Radis Bro, what's funny about Loomer is that millennials can see in real time what selling out gets you.
That's right.
It gets you a lot of really bad plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it many times, but the video of her drunkenly flirting with Mike Ma and him being utterly repulsed is hilarious.
Is that the one that Milo just put up? I had a Drudge link for about 4 days, and the language in it is pretty amazing, but it is... She is drunk and getting in his face, and he's leaning back.
Is it the blonde guy, and he just kind of looks over the camera like...
Yeah, and she messes his hair up, and he's like, you messed my hair up.
I don't remember that. I've only seen a short clip.
Oh, this is a clip about 2 minutes long, and Milo says, I just found the 20-minute clip of this, so I don't know what happens over 20 minutes.
Milo is an interesting character. You don't want to be on Milo's bad side.
That's right.
He's involved in everything and has a lot of dirt on everyone. Milo is a interesting character. Hadrian was right. Loomer's human mask needs constant upkeep. Hi, Boost. At the Irish version of the Patriot Front.
Yeah, it could be a false flag attack.
AP Rumble. See, this isn't genuine in my opinion. It's fake and staged, as many of the violence is, to start civil war.
Don't ever follow anybody who's afraid to show their face. That's just my... Just like anonymous, QAnon, right? I'm not following somebody who is going to remain anonymous and is going to speak in riddles and quatrains like Nostradamus or something. Sorry. Don't even go there. And I would say the same thing about somebody who is afraid to show their face. And I also reject the tactics of vigilante violence. So
we have AP read that. Real Jason Barker, Schoolhouse Rock should redo that cartoon and change the bill. Change bill to an executive order.
Yeah, that's right. I'm an order. I'm a dictator, that's it. Yeah.
Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens, I can't fly anymore. I won't be groped.
Yeah.
If I could avoid flying for the rest of my life, I absolutely would. Believe me. Bri B. Mack, our youngest daughter, always thought it was cannibal soup. That's good.
Close.
Oh.
Cancer soup. It's good. Yeah.
Delicious. in that Christmas Carol, which for some reason my brain is not bringing to mind, but it says, you know, dawn we now our gay apparel. I always thought it was dawning now our day of peril, and was very confused as to why this was our day of peril.
Yeah, I won't be donning any gay apparel this year.
AP Rumble Seat, they use extremism as a tool to normalize crimes against humanity. Mm-hmm. And goes on to say, Gaslighting 101, the whole cabinet is trained in it. Roy M.H., dismantle the biggest cartel, that being the CIA.
That's right, the Criminal Intelligence Agency. That's why, you know, when I look at the way Alex is selling this war to people, to his audience, and he's bringing in Patrick Byrne, and now he's even gone to he's an intelligence asset. Yeah, he's telling you to your face Just look at what David Icke is saying about Alex Jones and his warmongering. It truly is amazing.
We have Hi Boost. How many other drug dealers has Trump pardoned also besides this Honduran dude? Well, he loves him some drug dealers. There was that Jewish guy that was choking people out in synagogue and beating
That's
people
right.
up.
That's right. And doing that after Trump released him as well. So, yeah, it's the Sabbath 1974. So drugs are supply and demand issue. That's right. Except that, you know, here's the issue. The government politicians don't understand supply and demand. Not in the real world and not in the drug war issue either. That's the real issue.
We have Haibu saying, we aren't going after drugs in Central America, Colombia, Mexico, the Caribbean, etc. But fishing boats a continent away is the problem. It's a distraction.
Yeah, well, just wait. They're going to go after Mexico as well. They're probably the next thing that they invade. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. if you want to save on shipping. Just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
Yesterday, I wanted to talk about some pharmaceutical news. And I wanted to begin, as I did yesterday, but then I ran out of time, talking about the fact that cash-strapped Britain is going to be selling off embassies. They are cutting nearly a third of their embassy staff. The budget singles out high-cost locations like New York that could include the possible sale of a $15 million penthouse that was purchased in 2019 for diplomats at the luxury 50 UN Plaza complex. Seven-bedroom residence occupies the entire 38th floor and includes a library, six bathrooms, and a powder room. And this is the kind of thing we saw with New Zealand when they hit the wall with their socialist economy and they couldn't pay their ambassadors abroad and they were selling off assets. That was the point in time, as I pointed out during the shutdown, that they decided that they would spin off their air traffic control. And they did that. They were the first country to do that and just incorporate that into the airline tickets that were there, and people saw how effective that was. And you've got a lot of different countries that have done that. Even Canada has done that. And that needs to be what is done in the United States. But, of course, they're not doing that. The other part of it is the UK is selling major embassy compounds in Bangkok. And if you remember the recent defrocking, or whatever they call it, for Prince Andrew, the man formerly known as Prince, they removed all these different titles from him and kicked him out of one palace to another smaller palace. When he went to Bangkok on a supposed goodwill mission or something, he refused to stay at their embassy, even though it's pretty posh. He decided he would stay at an even more posh private hotel, and because I guess it's because he's bringing in, they said, 10 prostitutes a day. But that's what these people are doing. But the whole point of putting this here and talking about this in conjunction with the pharmaceutical stuff was because Pfizer tried to shake down Argentina, Brazil, and a third country that refused to speak out publicly because they had agreed to capitulate to Pfizer's blackmail. Pfizer said at the time, you know, we've got this thing set up so that people can't come into your country or leave your country unless they've got the shot. But at the same time, we want to be held harmless for any harm that it does, because they knew it was going to be harmful. And we don't want to just have the usual kind of guarantees that you see in other places. We want to be held harmless if we have even manufacturing issues or some other things like that. Or if you understand, if you come to understand later that Pfizer and Albert Bourla did this deliberately, they did it as deliberately as Pete Hegseth went after these people in the water. And so they said, so we would like to make sure that as a guarantee of your word that you're going to put up some collateral. So we want you to put up as collateral foreign embassies, military equipment that you got in other places. And it's like people are looking at that saying, how in the world do you even do that? Well, it is property that they can sell and property that somebody could take away. The whole thing was a fraud. And Pfizer knew it, and they were asking for these this collateral that was outside of the country that they were getting ready to poison the people in. So only one out of seven Germans who had a positive PCR test had a COVID infection. And this is coming from Children's Health Defense, talking about how this is stunning. An 86% false positive rate for PCR procedures. Remember, Handy was saying at the time, well, I remember when this was all happening, and Handy sent me a memo and I read on air saying that and he had one of the nurses there take one of these tests right out of the bag and run it through, and it was positive. It didn't even come in contact with any humans. So what do you expect? Nothing about this is real. It was all just made up. A significant overcounting of COVID-19 infections during the pandemic, because it wasn't a pandemic. It was simply a lie. By the end of 2021, 92% of Germans had already acquired a natural infection, indicating a near universal immunity in the population. Maybe it wasn't a pandemic to begin with. Maybe it was just a cold, you know, because that's one way these coronaviruses, if they even existed, right? They talk about rhinoviruses and coronaviruses, but I'm at the point now where I don't believe that the viruses even exist because they haven't used any real scientific tactics to isolate this stuff. We're led to believe that they have observed these viruses. We're led to believe that they've observed that these viruses are present in sick people and not present in people who are not sick. None of that is true, folks. It is a complete fraud. I mean, the fraud goes beyond the pandemic, beyond the PCR test. It goes back to virology itself. It's all a lie, as Audi would say. It's all a lie, damn it. And it absolutely is. And speaking of lies, just remember the lies that Bill Gates told us.
But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected
by seeing
these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain. And, you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't, you know, you don't get to say, ignore, what's going on here. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. So
therefore, if you want the vaccine so that you can get back to normal, you're going to have to give us title to your embassies in other countries. And by the way, that was reported by Stat News. Stat News is a big pharmaceutical trade magazine. They always toe the company line. This study was done by three German researchers. They analyzed how well PCR test results aligned with the results of blood tests for SARS-CoV-2 antibodies. Again, this is the same play-by-play scam that Fauci ran with HIV.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We haven't isolated exactly what it is that causes AIDS, but we see these antibodies or something out there, and we assume that is that indicates a presence of the disease that we can't observe scientifically. We theorize that it is there. So what they're saying is, we see these antibodies. Why are they focusing on the antibodies? Well, just think about that. That's what they talk. That's how they determine it. They say, well, we're not seeing the virus. We're seeing the antibodies. Because there isn't a virus. And it's not a pandemic. They don't observe the virus. They observe something else and say that that is present. But we can't observe the cause of the thing. But it is a particle or an entity or whatever. It's a virus. And it's there, but we can't observe it. But we can observe the things that are the reaction to it. Utter baloney. How the COVID inquiry protected the establishment. This is from Brownstone. Trish Dennis, she says, after 4 years, hundreds of witnesses and nearly £200 million in cost, the UK COVID inquiry has reached the one conclusion many expected, a carefully footnoted act of self-exoneration. It assiduously avoids asking the only questions that truly matter. Were lockdowns ever justified? Did they work? And what was the overall cost to society? And they repeat the familiar refrain of too little, too late. Now, this is the way they're handling this lie, this massive lie and fraud in the UK. They do an inquiry, you know, just like the Warren Commission, to explain away the conspiracy theories when everybody sees that it is a conspiracy, that there's more people involved in it. That's the most obvious thing. When you've got the guy who's the alleged shooter who's killed by an organized crime figure like Jack Ruby. I remember when that happened. It was right around Thanksgiving. And everybody in my family, I was 8 years old at the time, and everybody in my family was like, well, this was a planned hit, a multi-level. It was not a lone shooter. Everybody could see that. So they come up with a commission, a Warren Commission to explain away, or a 9/11 commission to explain away how concrete and steel buildings just collapse in their own footprint after a fire for a couple of hours.
Or they bring in someone like Jolly West to give... Yeah, psychoanalysis to go, oh, yeah, that's very interesting.
That's right.
Yeah, this was definitely a crazy guy. Very strange. Ooh.
So, you know, was it real is the question, and they're not asking that. The way we cover it up here in the United States, we haven't had a COVID inquiry, right? Why is that? Why didn't people demand some answers about this nonsense when we see the damage that was done here as well? Well, what they've done to cover up for that is to have both sides say, well, I think China did it. I think it was a lab leak and on and on. That covers them up. They say, well, you know, we did the best we could, but China did it to us and we just had to try to recoup. And yeah, we made some mistakes. We'll do better next time. We'll move faster. We'll move harder next time. So it allows them to cover up for their crimes that they conspired against us. And it lays the groundwork for them to do even more the next time. That's the way it's being handled here in the United States, which is even more reprehensible. So the conclusions from their so-called inquiry could have been drafted before the first witness entered the room. But, you know, they spent a lot of time and 4 years, hundreds of witnesses and £200 million in costs. But they could have written this down before because they came to the conclusion that they wanted after this dog and pony show. Here's the conclusions. The lockdowns were necessary. The modeling was solid. The critics misunderstood what was happening, and the establishment acted wisely. Every single one of these things is a lie. The modeling was absolute nonsense. We knew it at the time. Even another university, the University of Edinburgh, called out the Imperial College of London and Neil Ferguson's nonsense paper as a lie. But they said in this one, even Dominic Cummings, Boris Johnson's most influential advisor in the early 2020, has accused the inquiry of constructing what he calls a fake history. In a detailed post on X, he claimed it suppressed key evidence, ignored junior staff who were present at pivotal meetings, and omitted internal discussions about a proposed chickenpox party infection strategy. There we go. That could be the name of the... of a new third party, the chickenpox party.
Well,
so the harms of lockdown.
I would say our politicians are already a pox upon us.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right. The pox party. That's the unit party, yeah. The harms of lockdown are too numerous for a single list, but they include an explosion in mental health and anxiety disorders, a surge in cancers, heart disease, deaths of despair. That didn't come from lockdown. That came from the jab. developmental regressions in children, the collapse of small businesses and family livelihoods, profound social atomization and damage to relationships, and the erosion of trust in public institutions, which I don't see as a negative. I see that as a positive. I see the shutting down of schools and the exposure of what's happening in the classroom to parents. I see that as the silver lining to this fraud and this massive crime. The pandemic policy added 20% of UK's GDP to the debt in just 2 years. But it exploded even more here in America. The COVID vaccines, 5 years after the world's largest medical experiment, there is still no mandatory system for tracking millions of injuries. This is from the Free Thought Project, and this is from Cheryl Atkinson. And again, Pfizer knew this from the very, very beginning. That's why they wanted these embassies as collateral. They knew that they were going to be harming people, and they worked with the governments to make sure that that was not going to be tracked. So we got to remember that when we look at how the medical community, quote-unquote, operates, this is an article from the Daily Skeptic, and a person says, the other day I published a retrospective article about how I and others could see from the start that the lockdowns would be a public health, social, and economic disaster. And, of course, we could see that it was a fraud because of all these other flags that were out there as well. The time has come to set down a more personal record, not because it's particularly unusual or special, but because it is through individual stories that history is best experienced, and the history of lockdowns should never be forgotten or forgiven. And it's one of the reasons why I put together the monster jab thing. This is exactly how previously unrecognized serious side effects were discovered with other medications. Again, the this is talking about the... hang on a second, my device just popped here. This is talking about how the abuse takes time for doctors to catch up on this. Even the doctors are playing catch up on this. It takes them a while to discover the adverse effects from these things, because it is when these people poison us, the poisoners in the pharmaceutical industry, they make sure that they don't kill everybody at once. That's why they varied the dosage so they could see what was fatal and so forth. But it's also kept them from getting caught right away. If they gave something to people that killed everybody and did it right away, then they would catch on. But if they slowly kill you with a vaccine or something like that, then that gives them plausible deniability. This is exactly how previously unrecognized serious side effects were discovered with other medications. In the late 1990s, as a CBS investigative correspondent, I reported, says Cheryl Atkinson, on Rezolin, a diabetes drug that was withdrawn in 2000.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
download the Moto Casino app today.
Reports of liver failure began appearing in the FDA's adverse events reporting system. Again, we saw that with remdesivir as well. Remdesivir had been, Fauci tried to push that for his friends at Gilead Pharmaceuticals. He tried to push it as a cure for AIDS. He tried to push it in other previous conditions. And it never was effective, and it was very unsafe. And so he pronounced it himself as the standard of care 1 week after a Chinese study said that it was ineffective and very, very dangerous to the liver. And by the way, when we talk about Rand Paul, who's been one of the people pushing this lab leak thing so much, and I say it's an alibi, and it is laying the foundation for them to do it worse the next time. And I don't think Rand Paul is mistaken on this. I think he's in on it. He had his wife buy shares in Gilead with the remdesivir stuff. So, again, I don't trust him. Experts say for each adverse event reported, there are likely 10,000 to 100,000 more that don't get reported, says Cheryl Atkinson. Well, that was a Harvard study that showed that. That's why a handful of fatalities is so alarming and prompted the FDA to pull that drug, Rezolin, from the market. But, of course, that was back in the 1990s. Pharmaceutical companies have a lot more pull with media as well as with government regulators now. Similarly, she says, I also broke news at CBS on the erectile dysfunction drug Viagra and how it was linked to a form of sudden blindness years after approval. To which you tell people, if you don't stop it, you're going to go blind, right? But it was only because clusters of blindness cases happened to get reported to the FDA's adverse event system, and a few intrepid eye doctors then noticed a pattern in their patients. The actual doctors prescribing Viagra failed to recognize and report the blindness as a possible adverse event. The side effect was originally denied by the drug maker, but is now added to the warning on the label. But they still sell it to people.
Hey, do you think maybe that the blindness that we're seeing in this group of people that we're giving this drug to could be related to the drug?
Nah. Yeah.
Nah, it's probably something else. Maybe something in the water.
And then a third example, she said, I investigated, is the cholesterol-lowering statins. At first, statin makers denied that potentially fatal muscle problems and brain issues could be related to their medicine. But after enough reports made it into the federal database, it became undeniable. And those adverse events were ultimately added to the label. Except my doctor was not aware of it. She kept trying to push statins on me. And I said, no, it's got some really nasty adverse effects, I remember. Which ones were they? And it's like, well, it's been a long time since I looked at it. I don't remember. But how about potentially fatal muscle problems and brain issues? How about that? And how about the question as to whether or not we need to even control the cholesterol levels that are there? She replied by, and we had this conversation multiple times. She went through the whole spiel twice with me, lecturing me about this Framingham, Massachusetts study that showed that statins was great for everybody. I said, well, that's fine. No thanks. I'm not taking them. VAERS data for the COVID-19 vaccines now exceeds 1.6 million reports in the U.S. alone, including more than 36,000 deaths and 200,000 hospitalizations reported after the vaccine. Why aren't we stopping it? Well, that's a rhetorical question. We all know why. Experts across the spectrum agree these figures represent massive underreporting because most physicians are not filing reports, even asking their sick patients about their vaccine status, and many adverse events are never recognized as possibly vaccine-related. Trump, meanwhile, is proud of his mass murder campaign. And so, you know, 1.6 million reports in the U.S. alone, and that's a tiny fraction of it. But we're not going to do anything at all about it. That's the way it all operates. The FDA is going to introduce a new COVID-19 vaccine protocol after a report claims that the shots killed 10 children. Well, that's good, except, you know, we've already got the VAERS thing out there that she just pointed out. 36,000 deaths, 200,000 hospitalizations, but now They've got another 10, and they're going to run with this. And so the FDA is reviewing this. I hope they stop it, whatever reason they do. But it seems strange to me to try to focus on these 10 cases when you've got millions of cases that you could focus on.
A Midwestern. I wonder if they're focusing on 10 people that died in a different way to discredit the other injuries. Like,
could
oh,
be a cover
this
up.
Shot, it killed 10 people. Oh, no.
Yes. I think just to give us an insight into the thinking of medicine and what has happened, this is a great op-ed piece here from a website called MidwesternDoctor.com. Why have vaccines become a religion? And I guess my first response to it would be that, well, the accumulation of money has basically become a religion in America, the love of money. And that's a big part of it, you know, the fact that this magisterium of doctors and the AMA has made these people very, very rich. That was something that was not the case even in my parents' generation. And even when I was young enough, doctors would make house calls and things like that. Can you imagine something like that today? No. That's how their status has radically changed. As more and more people are awakening to the dangers of vaccines, they're gradually discovering a problem vaccine safety advocates have had to deal with for decades. Talking to vaccine zealots is like speaking to a brick wall. Regardless of the evidence you put forward, you can't teach them. For example, in 2009, after nephrologist Dr. Suzanne Humphreys noticed patients, particularly the hospitalized ones, kept on developing kidney failure after flu shots, she experienced significant pushback from trying to delay vaccination until after discharge. She said, in the past, when I consulted on kidney failure cases and said, oh, that was the statin or that was the antibiotic that did it, instantly the drug would be stopped. No questions would be asked. Now, however, a new standard was applied to vaccines. It didn't matter that the internist notes in the charts said no obvious etiology of kidney failure found after thorough evaluation. The next time the medical chief of staff and I met in the corridor, at one point I asked the chief, why doesn't anybody else see the problem here? Why is it just me? How can you think that this is okay? Why is it now considered normal to vaccinate very sick people on their first hospital day? The oncologist gave me an answer that surprised me. She said, medical religion. That's right. It is an orthodoxy. It is pushed for money by people in the same way they have other orthodoxies, like Zionism pushed for money. Once people awake to the vaccine issues, one of the most frequent questions which emerges is why the medical field has such a rigid ideological attachment to it. I would argue that's due to three interrelated reasons. First, human society has always been defined by competing groups vying for status and wealth. It is a very recent development that doctors attracted the kind of prestige and salary that this profession now commands. And I would argue that that is ultimately the result of two other things. Number one, market monopolization brought by the AMA. And number two, medicine creating a mythology that it rescued us from the dark ages of disease and hence deserves its supremacy in the current.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Social hierarchy. As, quote, vaccines ending infectious disease, unquote, is a central part of that mythology. Dr. Humphreys raised her concerns about the influenza vaccine causing kidney failures. Colleagues used the mythology of medicine's most esteemed vaccines to dismiss her. For example, the chief of internal medicine went on to remind me that smallpox was eradicated by vaccines, and polio was eradicated in the U.S. by vaccines. This eventually motivated Dr. Humphreys to scrutinize that mythology and to create the pivotal book, Dissolving Illusions, that showed exactly why that was a lie. And that is a lie.
Yeah, if you go in and you actually look at when these diseases started to disappear, you'll notice that there's a tremendous drop-off in cases, and then a vaccine comes along for it, and the precipitous drop continues. The vaccine doesn't seem to have any impact on the speed and the rate at which it drops. It's generally coincided with an increase in hygiene. People figured out something about how to keep themselves clean, how to better prevent themselves from, you know, getting bacteria around. That's usually what does it.
That's right.
And the vaccines show up and someone gets to go, look, the vaccines caused this, completely ignoring the fact that the drop-off had already started before the vaccine showed up.
Yeah, I should get Dr. Bailey on again, her husband.
In the case of polio, you have a lot of people with polio-like symptoms, where it's identical symptoms to polio. It's identical in every way, but it can't be polio because that's gone. We can't test it, of course, but trust us, it's not polio despite having all the same symptoms and no additional symptoms.
And there's tons of cases of vaccine-induced cases of these things.
Well, when you look at it, as I've said for the longest time, science only advances when you question the status quo. Only when you look at what everybody else has accepted, especially the experts in the field. It was when the Wright brothers questioned the airlift tables, and they created their own tables, that they were able to get something that worked. Whereas the highly prestigious scientist Langley, that was at the top of the academic social order, he was head of the Smithsonian as well, he couldn't get his airplanes to operate because he was using the wrong data. He assumed that that was correct. But the Wright brothers did their own investigation, and that helped them to make something that worked. And so, yeah, it should get Sam Bailey, Dr. Sam Bailey, and her husband, who's also a doctor. They co-wrote a book, The Last Pandemic. And it should be The Last Pandemic if we really understand how they pull the wool over our eyes. But they're going to sell this lab leak nonsense. Dr. Mendelsohn, who in his 1979 book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic, argued that medicine was a dogmatic institution that prioritized authority, control, and ritualistic practices. And as I've said over and over again, that's precisely what Francis Bacon argued against when he formulated his scientific method. He said, we're not going to go with dogmatism and established authority figures. We're going to go with observation and testing and repetition. So he said it's treated as infallible doctrines that require blind obedience from patients over patient well-being, over data transparency, and over evidence-based care. He said there are unwritten rules in medicine, such as doctors compulsively rushing to prescribe new drugs before their side effects are fully known, and there's a rigid, faith-like adherence to protocol over science. He demonstrated how many routine practices and procedures cause significantly more harm than benefit. For example, x-rays for tonsillitis, later creating thyroid cancer, but could not be challenged due to the dogmatic nature of medicine, and also the massive amounts of money involved, the financial interests that are there. He also demonstrated many illnesses that are routinely treated with harmful interventions would recover on their own, especially if augmented with simple, natural healing practices. He argued that medicine's tendency to withhold foundational medical information from the public, forcing them to trust the doctor. So, as they point out in this article from MidwesternDoctor.com, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. For example, when people attempt to conduct placebo-controlled trials of vaccines, they are vehemently rejected by the medical field as being unethical to perform because it denies children, the tiny placebo group, a life-saving vaccine. So, despite it being far more unethical to inject every child in the country with a vaccine of unknown safety or efficacy, which is the real concern of safety. And this is something that also came up in the early days of the so-called pandemic as Trump was pushing the vaccine. It's like, hurry, 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 we've got to get this thing out. I reported at the time there was a group of people who were bought into this pandemic lie so deeply that they said, we'll be guinea pigs. Let's do a challenge test. You know, inject us with a vaccine and then expose us to COVID. Well, there's two problems with that. They didn't have COVID to expose them to. They'd not isolated it. But the I said at the time, I said, they will never do it. You don't understand what the procedures have been always for the FDA to use when it is a drug versus a vaccine. If it was a drug, they would have a group of people that had the illness or the condition or whatever that it was supposed to help. And they would break that into two different groups. They'd have a control group of people who had that condition or that disease or whatever, and another group that didn't have it. So that's for a drug that is supposed to treat that. And then they would look to see what happened with those two groups. They never do that with vaccines. They don't have a control group. They never expose you to the illness. Could it be that they've not isolated the virus? They always tell us, well, no, we can't do that because it'd be unethical to allow people to deny them access to this life-saving treatment. That is the prevailing assumption, and that is the fundamental lie. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP, purpose-built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of the top distributors run on Profit 21 because it delivers real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and connected operations from sales to fulfillment. Don't play catch-up. Set the pace with Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Visit epicor.com/win.